This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Boy, a heartbreaker in downtown Tampa last night. A heartbreaker at the St. Pete Times Forum. Just a little throwback Thursday there. You know, it's obviously it's the Amalie Arena, but I'm just doing a little throwback Thursday on the MJ Morning Show. How many? Remember that St. Pete Times Forum?
St. Pete Times Forum in downtown Tampa.
And, of course, the St. Pete Times doesn't exist anymore. Oh, it's okay. Now the Tampa. So double throwback, right? Yeah, double throwback because even the paper doesn't exist anymore because it's now the Tampa Bay Times. So, man, some controversy, though. Are you guys up to speed on the controversy here?
But it happened in the middle of the night, so no.
What happened?
Froggy,
okay? The place burned down or something?
Oh, Froggy, you don't even know that there was a hockey game last night, do you?
Well, you know, I had a very important sim race last night, I missed it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Missed the whole thing.
Well, if you just watched the beginning, the first few minutes, it felt good.
Yeah, what was it, 36 seconds in?
Yeah, and that's what it's like, the Lightning, as long as they score early, then things are going to be good.
Yeah. Tends to set, who's making noise over here?
There's a little person in the room.
Today's bring your kid to work day.
Oh, jeez, what's that?
There's a little human in the room with us.
I brought Hudson in today.
Hey, Hudson, how you doing?
Say hello, Mr. MJ.
Hello, Mr. MJ. Hey, Hudson, great to see you, buddy.
be quiet in the corner.
Okay. More awake than any of us.
I know. Hudson is Fester's, what, is he five or six?
Five.
And when is he six?
In September,
so. All right. So, on the other side of five and a half. So, I guess it's bring your kid to. I think this is Fester's bring your kid to work day, not some kind of a nationally organized bring your son or daughter to work day.
Not.
Or
no, saddled with the kid, huh?
Bring your emu to work day or whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
Your comfort animal.
Anyway, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. I'm MJ with Roxanne and Fester and Froggy and obviously little Hudson. Fester's kid is going to hang out all morning long. Andrew, our producer. And Andrew is sort of our resident hockey expert here. And, yeah, it seemed like the tone was set last night because in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals, we had the Lightning scoring a goal 36 seconds into regulation play. 36 seconds into the game. All right, but here's where the controversy has arisen. And it is believed that the Avalanche had too many players on the ice when the overtime goal was scored last night, and that goal should not have counted. And this is pretty odd because it's going back and forth, and originally, I guess, the NHL had six on the ice, and then they took it back, or then online, then they took it back down to five on ice, but it's almost, is there an attempt at a cover up here?
Yeah, right. And were they just tired? Like, okay, let's just let this thing end because it's so late.
No. Let it end? Wait, does it mean we're out of it?
No. The story, you have no idea. All right, so
I try to follow it. It's just so hard to follow the little puck around.
The Avalanche won last night, so they have a 3-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final Series. Now, Froggy, how do you win the Stanley Cup?
It's so easy. You put the little sesame seed puck in the goal.
All right, now,
and then you get a point for it.
Just like baseball, it's best of
seven.
Oh man, yes.
I played baseball. I know that one.
Well, there you go. All right, so the Avalanche are now up 3-1. So what that means with the win last night is the Bolts would need to win 3 games in a row as we have to head back now to Denver, Mile High City, for Friday night's game. And we know how the Avalanche have been playing at home. So, look, I'm not going to blow smoke up wazoos over here. I don't think it looks too good here for our Tampa Bay Lightning.
So what are you saying? Give in? Quit?
No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
The flight from Tampa to Denver is a long flight. You know, guys, just stay home. Just forfeit.
Professor, shut up. We're not going to forfeit.
Aren't you tired by now, guys? Take a rest.
Seriously. But I'm just saying that I'd be blowing smoke if I said, oh, yeah, man, it's Lightning going to come back and win three games in a row.
Listen, crazier things have happened. As you know.
Hey, you're right.
That's a good sports
any given Sunday?
You're right. Crazier things have happened here. But and as far as too many players on the ice, it gets a little wonky here. It gets hinky.
Is that like, you know, a game-winning field goal in football and there's like 12 guys on the field when they make the field goal? So it's not going to count.
Now, did you get the John Cooper audio? Because he took one question. John Cooper took one question and spoke for a little over 2 minutes. And he said that his heart breaks for the players because the winning goal shouldn't have counted. He didn't elaborate why, but then it rolls out that there were six players on the ice for the Avalanche, and I think I saw that the winning goal was scored by the extra player.
Oh. What?
Yeah. That's where this thing's getting hinky and wonky. All right, hold on to that thought. And then the NHL originally had too many players on the ice, I guess, on their online tracker, and then mysteriously the extra player then came off. Hang on.
Wait a minute.
We're just getting rolling here, folks. We'll pick up with this in just a moment. Early morons in the news on the way. We're back in a moment. It's going to be a loaded Thursday here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105, so don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
And a lot of people are depressed. Of course, not everyone's depressed. I mean, you do have people that don't give a flying crap about hockey. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a massive hockey fan, but obviously, I want to see our Tampa Bay Lightning hit the three-peat. It's just not looking like the three-peat situation is going to be in play or a power play. I don't see the Lightning winning three in a row now, but I guess never say never. It's not impossible. It could happen. It's just that the likelihood is not there. All right. For the early crew here, and of course, we'll get to this later on. We'll deal with this probably in a couple of hours as well for the mid show and the later show crowd. But here is the controversy. Let me play this kind of cryptic audio bite after the game last night. John Cooper, head coach, Tampa Bay Lightning. John Cooper, he's trying to cope, by the way. That's why he's a coper.
That's right. He's coaching right now.
Try to cope with the loss. So John Cooper. So Cooper is at the post-game presser, takes like one question, and I want you to listen to the audio here, and it's somewhat cryptic, but then we'll put things together and give you a little more detail on this controversy.
We're all in this together. Players, coaches, refs, everybody. But this one's going to sting much more than others just because I think it was taken on, it was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean.
You're going to see
what I mean, goal.
Yep. Did you hear that? Am I a professional broadcaster or what?
You usually yell at us for that.
Damn right. Okay. All right. Yell at me. Scream at me. Yeah.
Come on, man. Stop messing with me.
Come on, MJ. What are we doing here?
All right. One more time. I won't.
Give me that Chad and Christie crap.
I won't talk over it this time.
We're all in this together. Here we go. Players, coaches, refs, everybody.
Here we go.
But this one's going to sting much more than others just because I think it was taken on, it was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players. Because we probably still should be playing. I'll be available tomorrow.
Doesn't he sound so nice?
Sounds like he's about to cry.
Listen, what he's saying is what is being confirmed by many observers, that the winning overtime goal from the Avalanche should not have counted because they had too many players on the ice. And that's why he's saying, you'll see what I'm saying tomorrow. And then he said, we should still be playing. Yeah. The series should be tied up right now. It should probably, that goal last night, the allegation is, should not have counted in overtime. So if the Lightning had won, the Avalanche could have scored another goal after that. But that goal should have been nixed,
right,
according to observers. And the reason is that the Avalanche had too many players on the ice. And that's why John Cooper, he's insinuating that. You'll see what I mean tomorrow. My heart breaks for the players. He says he'll speak today. And you'll see what I mean when you see the winning goal. We probably still should be playing, is what he said. Then, you know, folks on social media and like on all the chat groups, they're like, hey, what are you talking about? You can't just throw out an accusation like that and not explain. But here's what we know. Here is a Twitter comment. I think this is because the Lightning believes that Colorado had too many men on the ice when the winning goal was scored. Here is another tweet. Oh, no, if true, that's simply an officiating mishap that cannot happen at this stage in the season. Duh. Investigators, meaning according to USA Today's hockey blog, this is from USA Today last night or early this morning, they say investigators on Twitter took a clip-by-clip look. They looked at frame-by-frame to see if they could back up what Cooper might be claiming. But this is where it gets a little hinky. Was this like a cover-up? Listen to this. This is where it gets a little wobbly here, folks. Game sheet says there were 6 Avalanche players on the ice when the overtime goal was scored. And, of course, you can't have 6 on the ice, including or plus the goalie.
Yeah.
You can't have that. You've got 5 players. And then you have the goalie. So they had an extra player, which would be 7 on the ice. Now, the game sheet says there were 6 Avalanche players when the goal was scored. Then it says it's worth noting that the NHL's official game sheets are generated by automatic puck tracking. So barring a technological mishap, Colorado indeed had too many players on the ice. But wait a minute. This is where it gets like, ooh, is there like a cover-up? The NHL changed this on their website to now account for just 5 skaters. Now, the initial game sheets are generated by the NHL's automated puck tracking. 5 in this picture, plus Byram in the Avs zone. Then another one says, I just went back and watched the whole sequence, and there is no question the Avalanche are in control of the puck with 6 players on the ice, and 6 are still on, even as, is it Kadri, gets the puck crossing the line. Now, the NHL is now saying that Eric Johnson was not on the ice when the winning goal was scored. However, the picture, courtesy of another tweeter, according to USA Today, still shows 6 Avalanche players on the ice at the time of the goal. So, what at first glance appears to be a play here, the automatic tracking system had too many players, and it looks like the NHL went in manually and changed it back to 5.
Always believe the robots.
All right, so if that's the case, that is scandalous. That is a... Did they cover up? And we would have gotten away with this if it weren't for you meddling tweeters.
Well, yeah.
The internet bloggers and the tweeters, they discover everything.
This is like the... The trash can thing. Remember the guy was banging the trash can?
Oh, that
was. Oh, yeah. In what, baseball.
What, I mean, it's cheating. This is basically cheating.
It's cheating.
Was that Houston Astros?
Yeah,
Houston.
Okay.
It was.
Yeah.
What the hell are we? Sports talk now? Is this Sports Talk 105?
It's not cheating. It's not cheating. It's just a missed call by the refs.
It's bad officiating.
Yeah, it's bad officiating.
Yeah, but they're cheating now trying to.
Hey, now they're covering up.
Guys, at this level, Stanley Cup Finals, you can't have officiating mistakes like that.
Well, it was late. They were tired.
So what could they do? They can't take back the goal. They can't take back the game. It's going to affect the whole. Everything's tainted now.
They can't.
They might as well stop.
And that's why John Cooper, Lightning head coach, he's saying, yeah, you'll see what I mean tomorrow. So it seems like in the presser later today, maybe they're going to roll out additional proof and show that there were too many Avalanche players on the ice, and that's not nice. Not like Reuniti.
I'm sure he's
so good.
I'm sure that he's.
Did they still make that crap?
He came back.
Did?
I bet you the.
How do you know?
Remember the song? Reuniti so nice. Reuniti on ice.
Reuniti ice, nice.
Yes, right.
Maybe John. What's his name? John Cooper Mellencamp?
Yes.
Maybe he was up investigating and had to make sure. That's why he said wait till tomorrow.
It's called HBI.
Yeah. We'll get into this later on, later in the program, and see if anything new develops. But it looks like that goal shouldn't have counted, and that overtime should have continued, and maybe the Lightning would have had a chance to hit that sudden deather. All right, 6:27, rolling up on 6:28. It is the MJ Morning Show. I've got a spectacular early morning pile of morons in the news, and we will partake in just a matter of moments.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
All right, it's the MJ Morning Show at 6:37 here on this Thursday. And it is time for the morons in the news. Oh, you know, we also have a follow-up coming up. What time did we talk about that $8 million mansion house party up in the Panhandle? Did we talk about that like at around 7 o'clock yesterday?
Yeah, that sounds about right. $8 million place up. Yeah.
It was in Seaside.
Yes.
It was up in the Panhandle.
Near Niceville.
There was a house party, and if you missed the story, I'd like to do follow-ups at around the same time that we did the original story because, you know, people are creatures of habit, and people typically listen around the same time every day. So there's a pretty spectacular update on that deal coming up in just a bit. I do have a follow-up, but I think this is roughly the same time we did it earlier in the week. Do you remember the wife who was suspicious because her husband shows up with a fresh haircut and immediately assumed, oh, my husband's got a fresh haircut. He must be having some kind of an affair or something. Well, we have an update. According to The Villages News, one of our favorite websites on the internets, ladies and gentlemen, from... yeah, baby. The suspicious wife, who was angered by her husband's fresh haircut, has filed for the big D. The big divorce. The suspicious wife, Rebecca Jean Cannon, has fired the divorce cannon. You know what that sounds like? Boom. Right there.
That's what I was thinking. That's my impression of it.
It's like the end zone. It's like at Ray J. Here's the deal. Now, this woman, this Rebecca Jean Cannon, she was arrested last Saturday at her home in Oxford Oaks up near the Villages. It was her third arrest in, I guess, her issue with violence toward her husband. Now, there were two previous criminal cases that were dropped at the husband's request. So the husband... I guess he what, telegraphed to the prosecutors that he wasn't going to cooperate in the two previous alleged domestic violence incidents. Apparently, this woman likes to really beat the crap out of her husband.
Yeah. Kind of a weenie is this guy?
That's just my opinion, man. It's just my observation.
He's a victim.
I don't understand the beaten man.
So, Rebecca Jean Cannon, the last situation that she was pissed off about was back on June 13th. And it turned out that she and her kids arrived home from a trip to Lake Weir, wherever the hell that is. I'd like to add a D-O to the end of that.
Lake Weir is a pretty famous lake.
Lake Weir Doe.
I believe I've heard of Lake Weir.
Yeah, Lake Weir.
No!
Yeah. So
works perfectly.
It does. Lake Weir.
No!
Where the hell is Lake Weir?
Lake Weir. I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, where the hell is this?
Somewhere in the state of Florida.
Yeah, thank you.
It's in Ocala National Forest.
Oh, very good.
Oh, just lovely.
You know, I've never been in the Ocala National Forest.
It's between the forest and the villages.
You know, we ought to do an MJ Morning Show camping trip, like a bonding trip. Where the hell did Roxanne go?
In the cemetery.
Roxanne has been absent this whole
segment. Is she locked out? Because she didn't have her card earlier. I don't know.
Do we know where Roxanne... Hey,
oh, my God. She's morphed into a little child. She's right here on the floor.
That's Fester's little kid.
He's quiet. Be quiet, Hudson.
That's Fester's little five-year-old Hudson.
I don't know where she's at. I would guess restroom.
Yes. It's a long break for Roxanne.
Yeah, Roxanne's
she's
usually
open
not...
the door and slam your kid in the head. You better back him up a little bit.
What was that, Andrew? Where
she's on her way.
Where was she? Oh, here she.
Watch out for Hudson.
Hey, what are you doing, Rox? Come on, I'm telling a story here.
Take your time, Rox.
I need the female perspective here on a case. Hold on, when I'm talking, just hang on a sec. All right, so I need the female perspective here. Yeah, shut your face when I'm talking. Yeah. What's that expression?
The expression is enough about me. What do you like about me?
No. The funny expression. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. You know, that's it. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Where'd that come from? It's like you're from a movie or something. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Which, of course, how could you shut your mouth if you're talking to me? Where were you? Where'd you go?
I stayed in here longer than I normally do. I was listening to you talk about Fester's AC problems. It was compelling, and then I left later than I normally do.
Oh, okay.
Wash my hands. Right.
No, I need your female perspective on this, so you don't even know what we're talking about.
I have no clue.
Remember the wife that flipped out on her husband because he came home with a new haircut?
Yes.
Right, there's an update. She's filed for divorce.
So was there more to him getting his hair cut than just...
Well, here's the deal. So she comes back from a little trip with her kids from Lake Weir.
No!
And she apparently was suspicious because her husband had a brand new fresh haircut and was already home from work and planning to go out to dinner at Bonefish Barn Grill in the Villages, remember? And the Sumter County court records show that Mrs. Cannon has filed for dissolution of marriage this week. It happened on Tuesday. And, well, she remains free on a $6,000 bond after her latest arrest. And apparently she smashed her Cadillac SUV into his Mercedes. Remember, she comes home, she's all pissed off, and his Mercedes was in the garage, and she thought that it was not far over enough to hit. Like, we're talking double car garage. She thought that his Mercedes was not over as far as it should be. She blasted into the garage and just smashes into his car into the garage.
Well, a lot of issues going on.
My female perspective.
She thought that his car was improperly parked. she also threw his phone into a toilet.
Gosh, she is a menace.
In the guest bedroom. And then previously she was arrested on February 12th on a battery charge. I mean, this is nuts. So now she's filed for divorce on Tuesday. All right, anyway, now your female perspective is what?
Is that she is effectively showing that she is angry. She's getting the message across that she's mad and she's not going to put up with the parking, the haircut, none of it.
Is violence an effective method?
Well, effective means do you accomplish your goal? And if your goal is to show someone you're mad, yes, it is. But if it's to not be destructive, no, it's not effective.
Well, I don't think this marriage has much of a chance these days. And well,
you're kidding me. She's always angry. Right,
now let me ask you a question. Yeah. If your fiance Dig Dug came home,
he has no hair to cut.
He's a bald headed man.
What if he came home with a lovely head of hair?
Want to get to the whole setup and punchline? But that's okay.
That's not going to happen around here.
Okay. Tell me. If Dug came home with what? Now I'm intrigued. If he came home with wearing new cologne,
I was going to say no. If Dug came home with a fresh haircut. And then I was going to say, oh, wait a sec. He's bald as a cue ball. So,
yeah, hard-boiled Dug.
You know, maybe it was better that Roxanne did cut you off on that joke.
Yeah, I think so.
Instead of hearing you say cue ball.
Yeah, you wise asses. All right, this is something. As we continue with the early morons here, this is something that I know a lot about. Girl Scout cookies. Why do I know a lot about Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, my God.
Because Chloe was a brownie and a Girl Scout. In fact, Michelle even started a New South Tampa brownie and Girl Scout troop back when Chloe was growing up. Because she was trying to get Chloe into various Girl Scout troops in South Tampa. And they were all full. And Michelle said, well, I guess I got to start my own.
True. So, Beverly Hills.
So Michelle, back in, mid-2000s, 2006, 2007, Michelle actually went to the local Girl Scout Council. She became, trained and certified. Michelle started her own and had like 10 girls in this thing. It was really kind of cool. So, of course, they sell the cookies. So I know a little bit about Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But listen, plus.
You collected like Polly Walnuts.
I was like
Girl Scouts money.
I was like a mafioso with a protection racket.
It's so funny you say that because when the cookies would actually come in and they would be delivered and MJ and I would hustle them to his house for distribution, his garage looked like we knocked over a big truck full of them.
Well, here's the deal. After the morning show, over when we were on Gandhi at the old radio station, I used to roll through and strong arm every person in the building to buy cookies from Chloe.
It really is. Yeah. He really did strong arm.
I was that guy that would walk around with the order sheet from cubicle to cubicle.
I'm not leaving until you tell me what you want.
Exactly. Hey, and they'd say, all right, I'll take 5 boxes.
I'm you mean 10.
That's it? You mean 10. Chloe 1 year sold she 1 year sold 1,200 boxes of cookies.
You did, actually.
Right, I sold 800 of those. Yeah. But
MJ would walk up to like sales guys. Hey, Jimmy, remember when you cheated on your wife at the Christmas party?
I got video of that.
It'd be a shame for her to find out.
12 boxes of Thin Mints might save that.
What a shakedown.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't shake him down. Anyway, I'm trying to establish my bona fides here that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to Girl Scout cookies. So this is morons of the news. What does that mean? A father and daughter team from Long Island apparently used the promise of Girl Scout cookies to scam people out of their money. The guy and his daughter caused a whole investigation to commence because a dozen residents up on Long Island in Suffolk County, they complained to police, people saying I was bamboozled, I got scammed, it's a shame. At least 11 residents said they gave them money to buy Girl Scout cookies, but never received the Thin Mints or the trefoils or the tagalongs.
I'm a Samoa guy myself.
The Samoas, whatever. And I guess the cops up there were flooded with these scamsters. Now, you wouldn't think that, like, the 911 lines would ring off the hook for people that were scammed regarding Girl Scout cookies, but during some of the incidents, the money was given to a male adult accompanied by a female child. More than half of the reports made were for documentation purposes. Another victim said he bought cookies from a girl who was about 5 or 6 after she approached him at his home. He gave her $20 for 4 boxes, while the man who said that the girl's father stayed on the street and... Here's what's going on. The Girl Scouts Council of Suffolk County said that they would give boxes of cookies to anyone that was wambookied.
I mean, this is really a low-level crime.
Yeah, but anyone that was scammed, that the Girl Scout Council locally, they're just going to make good and just give them. You know what that means? They must have a shitload of leftover cookies. Remember? Hey, during the pandemic, remember that they had ordered cookies and they were loaded like warehouses across the country? You know, the cookies were baked and then the pandemic hits and then all the distribution didn't happen and all the sales didn't happen. You know, what the Girl Scouts and the Brownies, you know what they rely on? Is across the country being able to set up those little tables outside of supermarkets.
Sure.
And they sell millions and millions of boxes through that method. And then during the pandemic, really 2 years in a row, probably late winter of 2020 and even 2021, you just didn't have that. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it is a low-level crime, but I mean, how pathetic is that? You're using your 5 or 6 year old daughter as a prop to rip people off? What kind of grifter are you? What kind of sicko are you that you're using your little kid to rip people off?
I mean, she had to have the order sheet. You know, she had to, but she didn't.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't have the order sheet.
Hey, you want some Girl Scout cookies? I'll be back in a month.
I mean, you got to be in the uniform to sell those things. I think that's a law.
Is it a law?
I don't think it's a law.
MJ, you used to wear the little skirt.
I didn't wear the skirt.
The socks.
Anyway, what kind of a low racket is that to like use your kid as a prop?
It's almost as low as trying to shake people down for Girl Scout cookies to get your kid.
Listen, that's just sale. Stop that's selling.
No, but really, I mean, what are you teaching your kid? You know that 5 or 6 year old, that kid is being groomed. That kid is going to be a hardened criminal by what, 11?
Or work at a bakery.
The smartest Girl Scouts ever were the ones from last year that set up in front of dispensaries.
Oh, that's not just last year. That's happened for years now.
Actually, yeah, since they've been around. That's pretty smart. Yeah. That's thinking.
I think it was like out in Colorado, we heard a lot of stories about that they'd set up their little booths right outside of marijuana dispensaries selling all the pot smokers cookies because they got the munchies. All right, when we get back in a minute, we have an update to the house party that was at that $8 million mansion in the panhandle. So the owners of an $8 million mansion were out of town, and there was a party with hundreds of kids. There was a pretty significant update. The home was wrecked. There was damage. All kinds of stuff was stolen. Hey, you want to hear some of the stuff that was stolen? You got to hear this. All right, hold on. Follow-up update next in moments here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show, Q105, 702 here on this Thursday morning. And obviously a heartbreaking loss, Lightning at home last night in overtime. The Avalanche won. The Avalanche now have a 3-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final Series. Some controversy, a lot of rumbling that the goal last night in overtime should not have counted because there were too many players on the ice. We think that's going to be sorted out. Well, listen, Cooper said that there'll be more on this tomorrow. But listen, you can't take it back. It just seems if that's the case, that's just really lousy officiating. We'll get into that a little later on. You got the MJ Morning Show. I'm MJ with Fester and Roxanne and Froggy. Andrew's our producer. We have a follow-up to the house party. It's a home invasion. You know, it's not a home invasion in the sense that, you know, you and your family are asleep at night and someone kicks in a door and they hold you at gunpoint. But their home was invaded. And there are just a lot of questions here. If you missed the story yesterday, this is just a follow-up because we now know some of the items that were stolen. We have a little more detail on the sheriff's office's investigation. So this is up in Walton County. This is up in the panhandle. And the owners are pissed. $8 million mansion in a 24-hour security gated community. They're trying to figure out how the hell did all these teens know that they were out of town. because they don't have high school aged kids anymore. Their kids are older and out of the house. Here are the details. This is what's new here. $8 million house. It was a completely out of control, wild party. It was a breaking and entering. This was a burglary situation. The items that were stolen, there were a couple of hundred kids there. And listen, you know what it was like to be in high school and, you know, when you'd find out there was a party somewhere and, well, you know, generally a core group of people knew there was going to be a party, and then it spreads like wildfire. Oh, party, party, party. There's going to be a party. And a lot of times, and I was at plenty of these parties back in Virginia Beach as a student, first for one half a semester. Well, no, I guess one semester at Bayside High School in Virginia Beach. Then I graduated from Cox High School in Virginia Beach. But every weekend there were house parties.
Right.
And they were typically the parents were out of town. And that's where the weekend high school house parties were. So I know how these things work. And I remember even in high school, at some of these parties, there was damage. There were stained, nasty carpets. And, oh, by the way, folks, when your carpets are stained and ruined because of an unauthorized house party, when you need your carpets cleaned, you call Zero Res. Just thought I'd drop a little plug there for Zero Res.
I remember pushing a couch out of a second story window.
No, you didn't.
Of course, I've told you that story.
Yeah.
Whoa.
At a house party?
What did you do?
Well, it wasn't just me. It was me and a couple of friends.
Who else? What were the names?
I will not give the names. But we went and we took the couch that was upstairs in the... It was a huge house.
Was this in Carrollwood?
I'm not saying where.
No. Where was the location of the house?
Cheval.
Really?
Oh. Oh, man. We pushed that couch right out that window. That thing split in two and hit the ground.
You could have killed somebody.
Talk about a...
Well, there was nobody underneath it.
Talk about a gated community.
Seriously.
Yeah, with a lot of security.
Yeah, we had to weasel the gate guy.
What?
How do you weasel a gate guy?
You oil him up a little bit, as they say.
Let me introduce you to my friend Abraham Lincoln.
Bombs. All right.
There you go. What year was this in Cheval?
Oh, 1996.
All right.
Wait, no. I take that back, because I don't want you to. it was between 95 and 98.
Hang on. How did you guys, and what would precipitate, what would compel you guys to push a couch?
Alcohol.
Beer caused you to push
a
couch out of a second story window?
We just wanted to see what happened when it hit the ground.
Was it all that? Well, that. It all makes sense to me now.
It buckled on itself.
All makes sense to me now. Oh, we just wanted to see what would happen if we pushed it. Was it a leather couch? Was it a sectional?
Oh, man, I can't really remember. We got in a lot of trouble for it.
You were just exploring physics.
Was it a hide-a-bed sofa?
Oh, those would be too heavy.
The cops actually came to our school and, like, took us and, like, interviewed us about it. It was a big deal. It was really scary, actually.
What did the couch hit? Did it hit the driveway?
It hit like the grassy, like where the bushes were. It landed on some flowers and bushes,
so
and then
you
it buckled on itself.
You smashed?
It was out of two-story. It was high up. It was one of the coolest things I've ever done and seen.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Rox?
Well, what did you say to the cops when they interviewed you?
I don't remember. I just lied and said I wasn't there, I think.
Were you among those that were interviewed?
Yes, I was.
So
I was.
You're telling me after the event, the police showed up at your, at what, Tampa Catholic?
Don't say the name of the school.
Hey, well, was
Tampa Catholic?
Was Channing Tatum there at the party?
Oh, please. Channing was the ringleader of the whole event.
Wait a minute. Oh, this is breaking news.
Please. He needed his brawn to lift the couch in the first place.
Seriously, was Channing Tatum at this out of control?
Channing used to be at all of our parties, of course.
Did Channing Tatum participate in pushing the couch out of the second story
window?
I'm pretty
sure he was the one who was like, come on, guys, gather around. Let's get this couch and heave it. And we're like, oh, you're so handsome. Let's do it.
God, we're like TMZ. This has never been told.
Jenny Tatum throws couch out of window.
This is MJZ.
In 1996.
Holy crap. So you think Channing Tatum was the ringleader of the couch party?
No, but I'm sure he was helped. I'm sure he helped.
And for those that don't know, Channing Tatum, the actor, is...
A little known actor, but I feel like he's going to make it.
You think he might break through at some point? Yeah. Channing Tatum, folks, is from the Tampa Bay area. Channing Tatum went to Tampa Catholic with Froggy.
Roxanne knows Derek Jeter. What does that even mean? Who cares?
I think that's an interesting component.
If my friend won't talk to me, hers will.
All right, so I got to get back to the story from from the Panhandle.
Go ahead.
Now, $8 million home. The owners are pissed off beyond belief, as they should be. Their home was invaded. And we have a little like inventory of what was stolen as hundreds of kids were in this house. They stole a $1,500 bottle of wine.
What? One?
They stole, well, that's just, no, they there was a lot of liquor in there. Hold on.
That's not the same.
Hold on. This is just, these are highlights from the owner on what was stolen.
Is that expensive? I mean, $1,500.
Yeah,
very expensive. That's
a lot for a bottle of wine.
$1,500 bottle of wine, that's a lot of money.
Something I'll tear up in like 10 minutes.
I mean, listen, they can be a lot more expensive. I mean, there are $10,000 bottles of wine. There are $30,000 bottles
of
wine.
You're just a boob if you buy one of those.
What was that? Remember what? Super Bowl a couple of years ago? Remember there was a big deal at Burns Steakhouse that they had some bottle of wine for $60,000 or something. Remember that?
I'll take two.
I remember that.
Remember that? Well, can you look that up? Do you mind real quick? Yeah, Burns and the really expensive bottle of wine.
Or I'll buy a car.
Listen to this, Roxanne. They also stole a $3,500 YSL purse, which, of course, YSL stands for?
Yves Saint Laurent.
You exactly. Suck a lost.
Look at that.
Great. Yeah, I like that.
A $3,500 purse. Listen to this. They stole an autographed Peyton Manning football. There was a former Colts quarterback, Peyton Manning football, that was also stolen.
Oh, these kids are so young, they don't even know who Peyton Manning is.
Listen to what the owner said.
The guy in the commercials?
The owner of the house, $8 million mansion where it was broken into and there was a huge house party. The owner said they went in every inch of my home. She lives there full-time with her husband and their 10-year-old son and their 5-year-old daughter. The woman, the wife, says they were trying on my clothes. They were trying on my shoes, my swimsuits. They stole my handbags. And again, one of the handbags stolen was an Yves Saint Laurent purse. They stole Gucci purses. They stole Stella McCartney purses. Rox, you know all these brands.
Oh, yeah.
Stella who?
Stella!
Stella. Is she related to Paul?
Yes, it's Stella McCartney. It's Paul McCartney's daughter. And she's like a designer. The woman did not want her or her family identified. She said that their older kids, who are 15 and 20, do not go to school in Florida. I don't know where the hell they go. Well, I guess I
have a college.
Well, I not the 15-year-old, unless he's some kind of a high IQ child genius or something.
Maybe he goes to a boarding school in Connecticut. I don't know.
Who the hell does that?
Yeah, right?
Oh, my son. Yeah. All right.
Wait a minute. The woman must have posted on Instagram or something.
What? Living town, big place, available for parties.
They don't know how this occurred. And they said that their kids don't go to school in Florida and they don't know any of the teens that were at the party. She said it's not the material things, it's the memories. This is a stay-at-home mom. Her husband is an oil executive. She said the amount of invasion of privacy was there was no regard for anything. It was a complete violation. I mean, listen, I don't care if it's an $8 million home. I don't care if it's an $80,000 home or a $200,000 home. Nobody should break into your home, invade your privacy, hold a ruckus of a house party there with personal items violated and stolen. Well, as we told you on yesterday's program, that there's tons of video. There's a lot of social media stuff that popped up online. There was even more on Snapchat.
Oh, but have you seen the boxing ring video?
Yeah, hold on.
Yes, that's crazy.
I'm about to get to that.
All right.
But, invested in this party.
But there's a ton of cell phone video that made it up on social media. But there was also a lot of Snapchat video that, of course, Snapchat, it's there and then it's gone. So while the family was out of town, about 200 high schoolers, many of them, they say, are local high schoolers. They broke into the home. This is on Blackwater Street up in Seaside in the Panhandle. By the way, the home is for sale. If you go to Zillow, the home is listed for $7,950,000. That's an expensive home.
It's right on the beach, though, isn't it?
So some of the video, yeah, it's right on the beach.
Oh,
it's like Destin, Niceville. It's in that area.
Good fishing.
Listen, those are some of the most beautiful beaches in the country, in the world, in the panhandle. So the video that has surfaced, the music is blaring. You see the teenagers that are guzzling booze in the foyer. This is a 5-bedroom, 8-bathroom home.
Holy cow.
Then, and what Fester was just talking about, they set up a boxing ring. There was a boxing match in the foyer. And there's cell phone video that showed up online of a boxing match in this family's home.
Fight Club.
That's what it was like. So the owners are big wine and liquor collectors.
They were. They were.
Well, here's the deal.
Man, these kids hit the jackpot.
Well, they're saying now that the teenagers, criminals, listen, this is criminal trespass. This is breaking and entering. This is burglary.
Would the word scofflaw be appropriate?
No, no, scofflaw is not. This is not a scofflaw. Scofflaw is if you you rack up a bunch of parking tickets and you don't.
Okay. This is much more serious than scofflaw
level.
If
you jaywalk and don't use the crosswalk, you're a scofflaw.
Okay, so.
Yeah, a scofflaw, those are minor issues.
This is pretty major.
So the teens, they raided their wine cellar. They drank a $1,500 bottle of Ace of Spades champagne. They stole a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila.
Oh, that's good.
They also took dozens of other bottles of wine and liquor valued at thousands of dollars. Wait a minute. It gets worse.
Who's that sleeping in my bed?
How's the porridge?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Forget about sleeping in the beds.
The owner said they were in every single one of our beds. So
yeah.
That means that I'm sure there was some...
that's all that was going on.
Oh, my God.
Nick.
The mother, the wife, the homeowner said they were in every single one of our beds in the 5 bedrooms in the house. They were in all of my children's beds. They were in our bed. There were footprints in our bathtub.
Fester, you're at a party like that and you see a Peyton Manning signed football, you're not going to take it?
All right, guys, there's more on the theft list. Their son's Yeezy sneakers were stolen.
Oh, I'd take those.
His PlayStation 4 was stolen.
Maybe a 5.
Now, wait a minute. No, this was a 4. I'm a little disappointed because if you have an $8 million house, why you still have the 4 instead of the 5, right?
Right. You know, my kids are still rocking the PlayStation 4, just as good as 5, just as good.
Apparently, they were in their younger daughter's playroom that was wrecked. She's a huge American Girl doll lover.
Oh, yeah.
What? They ripped heads and arms off of her American Girl dolls.
Oh, she's going to be traumatized.
Oh, my. They ripped the limbs off of the... They damaged, like, everything. They ripped up all the toys. They threw some of the baby dolls on the roof of the house.
I mean, there's so much to be done. Imagine how much damage is this?
There's no accounting of the damage and the thievery, but it's got to be tens of thousands.
I remember.
I mean, one freaking $3,500 purse was stolen, an Yves Saint Laurent purse was stolen.
One thing we used to like to do on these house parties is go to each room because they always had eggs in the refrigerator, and you take one egg and you break it and you put it somewhere underneath the bed in each bedroom.
You know what?
That's just a good little trick.
That is despicable.
That's some serious vandalism.
Well, I'm happy to see that.
I didn't say I did it.
I'm glad we can see that your horrible human being roots go back to your younger years.
Listen,
that's when the...
YOLO, man.
Yeah, that's when the bricks were laid, apparently.
Foundation, it's called.
Anyway, the home was accessed through accordion doors that face the backyard.
Oh, those never work.
The 3 locks on the doors were pried off. Then the front door was open to let the hundreds of kids into the house. Yeah, the community of Watercolor, which is this upscale subdivision, has 24-hour security.
How did they get through?
Well, why wasn't there an alarm system in the house?
There's a lot of questions here.
Hey, folks. Hey, $8 million mansion owners that had their place invaded. SafeTouch.com. Can I recommend SafeTouch.com? You know, if you had the SafeTouch perimeter guard cameras, the cameras would have alerted you. You would have gotten a text alert or a video alert that something's going on. And then once they broke in, like the sensors on the doors and windows would have tripped the alarm system.
They don't have cameras everywhere?
The motion sensors inside. Guys.
Lasers.
Why wasn't your alarm system, I gotta believe an $8 million house had an alarm system. It sounds like the damn thing wasn't set.
Yeah.
Unless these 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, they're criminal masterminds,
yes.
And they brought in Louie to disable the alarms. Yeah. I mean, what a
real alarm sleuths at this party.
Oh, come on.
So I mean,
it sounds like they didn't have their security system on, or they need to call Safe Touch.
Or it was broken, maybe.
Several people have texted me on my personal cell phone already this morning.
Yes.
That the town of Seaside
is
where the movie Truman Show
was filmed. Yeah.
You were asking earlier about wine at Burns.
Yeah.
There's a $30,000 bottle of wine, a rare find.
Is that the one that they were advertising during the Super Bowl?
It must have been.
Yeah. Anyway, quickly, I got to wrap this thing up here. But the teenagers, they circulated a flyer advertising the Friday night Rager party 5 days prior. The family says we don't know how they knew that our home would be empty. The family left town on Wednesday. They had a house guest who was there on until Friday afternoon, so maybe it was the house guest that didn't set the alarm? Is that possible?
Of course.
Anyway, the cops are going through all kinds of video. There's tons of evidence. Some did disappear. Some of the Snapchat stuff did disappear, but there's still plenty of video, and they've identified many of the kids in the videos.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, so...
You're just waiting for the cops to show
up. Waiting for the cops to show up. Most of the teens are local. And some of the kids were even given up by their parents. So they
My parents would have given me up. No problem.
Yeah, your parents would have given me up, too.
Yeah. Just...
They want restitution, and I'm guessing they want everyone prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. They want the book thrown at these kids that broke into their house, ripped off tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff, slept in their beds, probably copulated in their beds.
Yeah.
See, back in our day, there's no cameras. Nobody had any cameras. Oh, man.
Anyway, so that's the follow-up to the house party. Folks,
Sounds like a banger.
That's a nightmare, man. A total nightmare. And another reason why you need Safe Touch security for your house. SafeTouch.com. Tell them that MJ sent you. All right, when we get back... I don't know why people do this. At 7:45, I have another story of a theft, and it's a very, very sensitive theft. And I don't know why people do this. And I guess the question is, would you do this? Would you be so despicable and so thoughtless? Would you operate with such disregard? What am I talking about? I'm going to make it all crystal clear in just a matter of moments here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Oh, also, the Grubhub hostage story. Is that not amazing? All right, we have a lot. In just a moment, we start our long MJ Morning Show segment here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. So stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show at Q105. MJ, Froggy, Fester, Roxanne, Andrew, the producer. 7:31 here on a Thursday morning. And, of course, the Tampa Bay area not thrilled, obviously, with the Lightning loss last night in overtime. There's a shitload of controversy here. Should the goal in overtime, should that goal have counted? We'll get into that a little later on. We dealt with this first thing this morning, but just in a nutshell, it appears through numerous sources that the Avalanche might have had too many players on the ice. And then due to the automatic, what do they call it? The automatic, Andrew, what's the name of what the NHL uses? It's automatic what?
I don't really know that system.
Right.
I know that the officials off the ice watch every player and keep track of when they enter and leave the ice.
It's called automatic puck tracking. And According to numerous sources, there were too many on the ice, but then the NHL made a manual change. So is this a cover-up? Because this is a huge embarrassment if there were too many people on the ice, too many players?
The cover-up is what gets you in trouble. Yeah,
and John Cooper said that things will become more clear today. He was a little cryptic at the presser. So I just want to lay the predicate here, lay some groundwork, that there's controversy over the overtime goal last night and should the Avalanche have won in that fashion. All right, we'll get into that in more detail coming up here on the MJ Morning Show. We even have the John Cooper audio, which is a little cryptic, but he seems to indicate that there's going to be more on what's happening here later on today. So we'll get into that in just a bit. Hey, quickly, Roxanne, you're usually into all this planetary hoopla, and you got me worried about, I don't know, what, Mars and Venus in retrograde? Or
yes.
What the hell is it called?
I like to worry you when Mercury is in retrograde.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what happens when Mercury is in retrograde?
Well, it's not in retrograde right now, but when it is, it messes up communication. People don't communicate as well with one another. Flights are delayed, transportation issues. Yeah.
Usually you bring up all kinds of interstellar planetary stuff and Matthew McConaughey. And
intergalactic planetary?
Well, I'm just thinking interstellar. Wasn't that the movie he was in?
Oh, I was just thinking about him playing the bongo drums, and that was pretty interesting.
No, what does that have to do with
planets?
What does that have to do with planets?
There was a whole moon that
he was
night,
in
probably.
Contact. Nope.
No, Matthew McConaughey was, I think, interstellar.
He was also in Contact, a better alien movie, with Jodie Foster.
No, make sure I'm right. I think Matthew McConaughey was in the movie Interstellar as well.
He was, with Anne Hathaway.
Thank you. All right.
I love him, though. He's great.
All right. Now, Roxanne, you dropped the ball on this.
I dropped the astrological ball.
You dropped the orb on this.
What's that song? Intergalactic, planetary. What song is that?
I don't know.
Beastie Boys.
Is it intergalactic?
Everything's so intergalactic with Roxanne.
Roxanne, here's the deal. I'm really surprised that you don't have some kind of analysis on why this is important. Five planets are aligning perfectly until the end of this month.
Oh my God, they're going to explode.
Well, this hasn't happened since 1864. Roxanne, you're dropping.
You tell me what this. It sounds like you're really into it now.
No, I just know the facts. I just know that the planets are aligned for the next couple of days. I don't know what that means for my, weird little spooky mojo, whatever the stuff is that, with your Santeria celebrations at your house.
Will you stop saying that? I would never do anything like that. That's so creepy that you would say that.
What, that you have Santeria sacrifices at your house?
She just does voodoo.
It's just you're into the whole
believing that someone acts like a Pisces or acts like a Gemini does not mean that you're into Santeria.
But you're putting wambookies on people with chicken bones.
No, I sage cleansed.
Oh, that's right.
And I still haven't done it here. Sorry. Obviously,
Roxanne goes through her home burning sage to get all the bad juju out of her house. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Set off the alarm. Are there sprinklers in here?
Anyway, so here's
I think this bodes well for all of us.
Here's the... I'm just shocked that this is your wheelhouse. All the weird stuff. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn have all lined up. There's this rare alignment going on right now. The last time there was the alignment of these five planets simultaneously, last time was 1864. Froggy, who was the president of the United States in 1864? Who was the president of the United States in 1864?
Ah, Abraham Lincoln.
Did you look that up? Hey,
no.
Hold on.
Yes, you did.
I did it. I'm looking at pictures of graveyards.
Lincoln's grave.
You just Googled it.
I didn't Google nothing.
I just grabbed your phone out of your hand. It's on your screen.
All right. Just give it back. Big deal.
Oh, you cheater.
I can Google real fast these days.
Damn right you can.
I mean,
my God.
It's little known lore. As they were taking the carriage ride to the theater, Abe looked up and said, Mary Todd, look at those beautiful planets.
That is how he talked. Had that weird high voice.
And hey, Mary Todd, this is going to be a great night at the theater, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to see this wonderful play.
I'm so glad this war is easing up. I always wanted to take you to the theater. I got us great box seats.
Wait till after the show. I got a surprise for you. It's going to be a real banger.
Guys.
I have a bad feeling tonight, Abraham.
Guys. No, Mary, we'll be fine. You'll love the show. You'll love it.
Guys, too soon.
Too soon. Mary Todd.
Oh, that's my new character.
Abraham Lincoln. Hey, welcome.
Oh, hold on. Am I Lincoln? No, I'm Lincoln. You're Mary Todd.
I'm Mary Todd. Sorry.
Mary Todd.
Abraham, take off that stupid hat. I'm sick of it.
Who's on the phone? Ulysses? Tell him I'm busy. I'm busy. Ulysses. Hey, U.S. Can't talk to you now.
All right, guys. Hey, let me just finish up with the stupid planet thing. Here. All right. So.
I'm going to get it on with Mary Todd tonight.
So, yeah, we're going to do it.
All right, guys.
Can you think of a less sexy name than Mary Todd?
Hey. Abraham
likes to leave his hat on when he does me.
Are you Mary Todd?
Yeah, of course. I'm Mary Todd.
All right, enough.
It's quite a history lesson for Fester's son in here.
Everything we said is factual,
by
the
very
way.
Very.
And of course, it was April of 1865, right?
Yes.
When, the play didn't go very well at the Ford Theater.
I mean, the first act was great.
Yeah.
Look at those lined up. Abraham, the lined up planets. Tonight's going to be a beautiful night.
Well, here's the deal. We're going to have the five planets aligned for just the next couple of days. The alignment is best viewed, Roxanne, in the early morning, about an hour before sunrise. Ooh. We're all like on the way to work. It's a perfect. I got to remind myself to do and watch tomorrow morning. So the best time to see the alignment is before 5 a.m. in the eastern sky.
See, I think this is why this didn't come on my radar. This is astronomy.
Oh, that's right.
You're talking astronomy.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
But
astrology and astronomy are very closely related.
Exactly.
Yeah, but everything he said is.
But it's the science of astronomy that brings about your little hocus pocus crap of the astrology. Uh-huh.
Is what I'm saying.
Hocus pocus crap that someone seems very interested in.
What if aliens were like, we're just going to wait for five planets to align, then we're going to attack?
All right. The sign is the five align. Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
The easiest planets to spot, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, because they're higher in the sky anyway. So this is available, according to space.com, the mornings of Thursday to Saturday. So it was starting this morning, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. Is when you can see this five-planet alignment that hasn't occurred since 1864, a year before Abraham Lincoln was assassinated.
I looked up this morning, saw the crescent moon, and then saw like a bunch of dots. I'm like, ugh, okay.
All right.
Ugh. Did you say ugh when you look at this guy?
Five planets.
I need to point something out here, folks. And is this disturbing? I took a picture as well. Andrew, do you have the photographic evidence that I forwarded to your email box? Do you have
I have the image.
All right. Fester brought his 5-year-old son, Hudson, into the studio today because, what's the deal? Your wife?
She has a doctor's appointment and they couldn't get her in for a while, but they said, hey, we have an appointment available on Thursday, but it's early in the morning. And she goes, oh, okay, I'll take it. And then she's like, oh, wait, we have Hudson. And I was like, no big deal. I'll just bring him into work.
Hey, Fester, he punched me in the crotch like 10 minutes ago. Tell him not to do that anymore because that caught me off guard.
Froggy has a relationship with my son of violence. I don't teach my son to body slam people or punch people.
Me right in the nards.
Froggy only wrestles with him. And when he sees Froggy, he instantly thinks it's okay to punch people.
Is Froggy the only one that your son punches in the crotch? Or is this a common occurrence?
Mr. Froggy always wants to wrestle and play and roughhouse. Yeah. And Froggy has two boys at home. We don't have any other boys.
We do a lot of nut shots at the house.
Yeah.
All right. Fester brings in his 5-year-old son, Hudson. He's in the studio now.
Yeah.
And I didn't see this until just a short time ago because I didn't leave my in front of the control board position since you guys walked in at 6:00. I haven't moved from this spot. Folks, I have been stationary right here. If you're watching MJ TV right now, I have not moved from this spot. All right. I moved from the spot during the last break.
Right.
and I witness your kid is on the floor on a doggy bed?
Yes. It looks like a comfortable dog bed.
Isn't that the most comfortable looking dog bed you've ever seen?
And not to mention, a little while ago, Fetcher came in here with like a... Was that a treat?
It was a...
What are they, snossages?
No, it was a... Although snossages are surprisingly good. It was a Z-bar, like a Clif
and
Bar Z-bar.
And he threw Hudson was over here by me, and Fester goes, here, and throws it on the bed. And he and almost like he's a dog.
Well, I was like, I was telling Hudson to get.
Dude, and then you asked him to sit.
Dude, your kid is on the floor on a dog bed.
Where'd you get the dog bed at? Because there's hair still on it.
It's from probably their old Chihuahua.
Yeah, I mean, that dog.
I'm not making this up. Hey, Pat, our traffic guy. Hey, Pat, come on in here. Take a look at this thing. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, he's on a dog
bed. Fester kid is on the floor on a dog bed.
He's fine.
I thought that was Shorty Shane.
Oh, no. Oh, speaking of Shorty Shane, Shorty Shane is trolling me on something.
Oh.
Yeah, we got to deal with the Shorty Shane situation a little later on. Hey, Andrew, can you get
trolled by a midget?
Andrew, can you do me a favor? Can you get the image of Fester's kid on the floor on a doggy bed on our website? You got to see this. Fester, right. I don't know if...
What?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
What part are you not? Are you more comfortable with him just sitting here chiming in on segments and sitting there digging the whole time?
I just think it's just awkward that you got your kid on the floor on a doggy bed.
Hey, Hudson, no more wiener punches. Okay.
Yeah. Say sorry to Mr. Froggy.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry for what?
Next time I hit back.
Hudson, how is your doggy bed? Hey, Hudson.
Hey, Hudson. Listen to Mr. MJ.
Hudson, is your doggy bed comfortable?
Say it.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, go back on the floor then.
Don't punch Mr. Froggy into junk anymore. Okay, kid.
Fester, what else is going on in your house that's like weird?
Okay, this has been in storage, and like my wife's like, what is he going to do in the studio? I was like, well, I hope he's quiet.
Was this from your old Chihuahua?
Well, this, yeah.
What was that last dog? What was that Chihuahua's name?
I was Bailey the Chihuahua.
Right, and you never got a new dog.
That's a touchy subject.
Yeah,
hold on. Who wants the dog?
Hey, Hudson, you want a dog? Say it out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, Hudson wants a dog, and I don't want a dog. And
does Allison, your wife, want a dog?
I think she's indifferent to the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
she's got Tesla. She doesn't need a dog.
Yeah, right? What do you need a dog for?
Can't plug in the dog
Plus,
and charge it.
Plus, if you get a dog, then the doggy bed will have to be used for the dog and not your five-year-old kid any longer.
Well, we only use the doggy bed for visits to the radio station.
This is the first time he's been to the radio station.
Allison's like, what's he going to do in the studio? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, where's he going to sit? I was like, I'll bring a dog bed. And then Hudson all week was more excited about laying in the dog bed than coming in.
Andrew, is the photographic evidence, is it up on the website?
Coming soon.
How much time before it's up? Like 2 minutes, 5 minutes?
2 minutes.
All right. In 2 minutes, you'll be able to go to MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com and see Fester's kid on a dog pillow on the floor of our studio. Which I think it's kind of degrading and demeaning. I just got to be honest. Just an observation.
How is it degrading and demeaning to a five-year-old?
It's fine. It's utility.
Did he cut loose something? I smell something.
Yeah,
Oh, my God. Fester, it stinks.
When he deals, bro,
kid can deal. I got to move on here.
Hey, Pat, can you get me the yogurt in the refrigerator, please?
What is he, your serve boy?
I'll leave. I'll get it now. Pat's just standing there making faces at the kid.
We'll have the picture of Fester's kid on the dog pillow on the floor of the studio. It'll be up at MJMorningShow.com in just a matter of moments. It is 7:46. And we got to deal with, I think, something that is unbelievably disrespectful. I don't know who the heck would do this. Now, this was our little teaser yesterday. So if you were listening to Q105 during the course of the day yesterday, maybe you were listening for the Q105 1K a day song to play. By the way, we played it twice yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, so yesterday the 1K a day song played. We played it at 9:30. So when we announced the 1K song of the day, and I'm going to do it here in about 14 minutes at 8 o'clock. So today's song is going to be announced. I announced the song yesterday at 8 a.m., and we played it at 9:30. We gave away a grand yesterday, and then it played again like at 4 o'clock. And that was another grand we gave away. So we're giving away another $1,000 today. We'll give you the song to listen for today. I'll give you that in 13 minutes at 8 o'clock exactly. I'm disturbed by this, and folks, this happens. I know if I were to guess over the course of the MJ Morning Show, I know we've talked about stories like this at least half a dozen times. And I just find this to be disrespectful. Who the hell would do this? The headline, Fester, Roxanne, and Froggy, the headline says, man claims U-Haul with mother's ashes inside stolen.
All right.
Why are you laughing? Is this funny?
Frank, which side are you on? I mean, it's not that there's a side, there's a right side and a wrong side, but...
There is a right side and a wrong side.
Obviously, there was other stuff in it. He wasn't going to the ashes.
He didn't know when he was stealing the U-Haul that, oh, mom's ashes were there. But, I shouldn't have...
You're missing... No, guys.
Put mom's ashes in a U-Haul?
You're missing the point. I'm not concerned about the burglar. Okay. I'm not concerned... The car thief, that's not who I'm talking about. The story is another one of these things. An auto crook stole a U-Haul in Kansas City. The U-Haul was being rented by a man, and he had apparently a bunch of items that he was moving in the U-Haul. And inside the boxes in the U-Haul of all of his items were the ashes of his mother and grandmother.
Ew, mixed together?
No, they weren't mixed together.
Oh, I was going to say.
It wasn't.
That is gross.
That's crazy.
They were really close.
It wasn't like the Mrs. Dash of ashes. No.
Could you imagine?
I'm sorry. Do you have a visual there?
No, I do.
Just a little Mrs. Dash of spices right up.
That's not what we're dealing with here.
So, MJ.
You guys are missing the point here.
Are you saying that it's awful that he used a U-Haul to box his mother up and ship her? Is that what you're saying?
What do you mean ship her?
I'm confused.
What is there to be confused about?
Stealing part.
We got that.
Right, hold on a minute. You guys are honing in on the wrong thing. You guys were like, oh, how did the crook know ashes were inside? No. How could a relative leave the ashes of mom and grandmom in a U-Haul parked out on the street? How could you do that?
Yeah, you would think you'd grab that.
You bring those in.
Yeah.
Why would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, you would. Why would you leave the ashes of your loved ones in a U-Haul in a box?
What if it's the first thing you put in the truck? First thing. No. Mom, I will put you in this truck first because then you have all your couches and mattresses and it's all jammed in there. It's behind the armoire.
It was a U-Haul. And you know that little bump out that sits above the cab?
You know what that's called?
It's called Grandma's Attic.
There you go.
My God, I just realized that.
Oh,
seriously, when you see the U-Hauls that have the overhang, they call that Grandma's Attic.
So
seriously, I think they even have it printed up on the truck.
It's not always easy to access everything that's inside your U-Haul.
Fester, if you're moving your crap and you've rented a U-Haul, you've got all your boxes, you got furniture inside, and you have the ashes of your mother and your grandmother, you put those in a place where you would bring them in. So overnight,
what are they going to spoil?
Listen to me.
No,
it's disrespectful to leave your loved ones in a U-Haul on the street. If this was my situation and I had ashes, if I had remains of a loved one, I would make sure that they were in some type of a tote, in some kind of a bag.
Yeah, it's called an urn.
The urn would be in a bag that I would be able to take them out of the truck and take them into, let's say, a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. If I was staying somewhere while I was on the road, I couldn't leave the remains, the ashes of my loved ones in a cold U-Haul truck.
Seems like you have very high standards about this, which is good. Maybe you should invent a tote bag for people who are moving to carry their ashes
in. You don't need to invent a tote bag.
Tote bags are already invented.
You guys.
All right. I have this invention. It's called a tote bag.
And right now, if you make a pledge here at Channel 3, WEDU, we'll give you an ashes urn tote bag. If you make a pledge here.
For supporting members.
Only for supporting members. You get a Channel 3 WEDU public television.
All right.
guys, you're missing the point. When I first started telling the story, you're like, well, how'd the crook know that the ashes were in the vehicle? That's not what I'm talking about. It's the driver of the U-Haul. How dare you have such disrespect for your loved ones, your family members, that you leave them in the... You know what we ought to do? We ought to go to phones on this. Am I wrong? Oh, Fester's shaking his head. Yeah, I'm wrong. Let's go to phones. I want to hear from you, the MJ Morning Show listener. Do you think it is at all right? Do you think this is disrespectful? If you are moving, you got a U-Haul, and you have the remains of loved ones, you have their ashes, could you possibly leave them in a truck that's parked in a, let's say, a motel parking lot or in a... on the street somewhere? Or is it respectful to bring the remains in with you? I mean, you're bringing...
You could transport them in your scuba bag.
What are you talking about?
She's still...
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
She's still working on her ashes tote idea.
My God. All right. I want to go to phones on this. Folks, am I wrong? Am I off base? That if you're moving, you're in a U-Haul, and you have the remains of grandma and mom, it is disrespectful. It is horrific to leave the ashes in the truck. You bring them into the motel. You bring them into the home and where you're staying.
Put them next to you on the bed?
No, you show respect.
Well, let's say you go to a fancy hotel.
Ashes.
You go to a fancy hotel, and they have, like, the luggage guy that comes out. And he's like, well, can I take these to your room? And you're like, wait, hold on. Here's my mom's ashes.
I want to go to phones on this. 800-990-104. Look at the... Every line is already ringing.
And you're thinking of, like, an urn. I think... There's a lot of ashes that come.
That's a good point.
It's about a shoebox.
Oh, guys, no.
It's okay. Not a lot of ashes.
I think it's like the size of a halpa.
No. So, MJ, do you have ashes at your house of any lost relatives?
No, not lost relatives, but we have...
He has a bunch in his elbows, right?
We have ashes from some of our beloved dogs.
Okay.
We've got Scooby. And we've got Scarlett and Romeo. We have their cremains. We have their ashes. All right, I want to go to phones on this.
Weird.
800-990-1047. Oh, you know who we haven't heard from in a while? Hey, D-Flex, where the hell have you been? You know, I have people, like, emailing me, hey, when's D-Flex going to call in again?
Who?
The guy, D-Flex. Remember?
We had a couple times he's called in. Yeah. He's a very enthusiastic MJ Morning Show listener.
Hey, D-Flex, where the hell are you? Literally, I have people asking me, hey, MJ, where's D-Flex? So, D-Flex, if you're listening, try to call in.
How about his brother, Ree?
All right, 800-990-1047. Am I off base here? I don't think I am. I think it's disrespectful to, if you're moving, to leave the ashes of your loved ones. Or let's say you've hired a moving company, and you're moving long distance, or even locally. I take the ashes with you. Don't put them in a box with a blender.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Do you bring the ashes into Denny's when you stop on your long move to your new house?
Do you give them a Grand Slam breakfast?
I think there's a difference between just rolling into the IHOP or Denny's or wherever for a few minutes versus letting your loved ones stay overnight in a truck, in a box. All right. Let's look at the phones.
Like, grandma's like, oh, this is so uncomfortable for my ashes.
I think it's disrespectful. Let's go to phones. Tony's in Tampa. Tony, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Tony, you're on the... I turned my mic off. Tony, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning, MJ. I'm always talking to you. Listen, with all due respect to the dead people, but if you have your ashes in a box, in a truck, way up in the front, you really think that they're going to know the difference whether they in the truck or in a room in a hotel?
Listen, obviously...
I mean, they did.
Tony,
it's hard in here.
Obviously, they're probably not going to know the difference. Hold on. Unless you believe that they are looking down from up above.
If
you believe that, then they do know you've left them in the damn truck.
Right. If you believe that, yeah, I can see the point, but I don't believe that. So there's a lot of people that believe that. They did, man. My father was cremated. His ashes, and then finally we put it in the cemetery. Because we weren't going to carry that all around with us.
Oh, so you buried the ashes.
Yes, we did.
Gotcha. And listen, a lot of people do that, or inter the ashes. Hey, thanks for the call, Tony. Opens up a line, 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. Michael is in Jacksonville. Hey, Michael, MJ Morning Show, you're up.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Todd, I have to agree with you 100%. Like I was telling Andrew, my mom was cremated, and I have her remains, and that would have wrote up front with me. And every time I move to answer Roxanne's question, yes, if I go into a restaurant and I'm moving, I'm going to keep it with me because it's a respect for that individual. Although they can't feel it, it's a respect to honor that memory. And obviously, now this guy, I don't even know if he's going to get his stuff, his family members back. So what does that do for him? Like, now he probably feels totally worthless. So, yeah, although they can't feel it, and they're, you know, to me, it's like putting them in the back of U-Haul is kind of like putting your armoire, your couch, or your other personal belongings. But a human is more than that, even though they're gone. So, yeah, I 100% agree that he should have kept that with him up front.
Did you say you took your ashes to a movie?
No. So, like, I was answering Roxanne's question when she said, would you take it into, like, if your
movie... It was the new Top Gun Maverick.
Michael,
you're going to say Die Hard.
Who the hell,
I'm throwing you. Come on. That's terrible.
Die Harder.
Or The Sixth Sense or something.
Michael, who loads a moving van and then says, hey, let's catch a movie on the way?
For real.
Well, I'm not talking about a movie.
Yeah,
moving.
Oh, I thought he said. I thought he said. We all thought he said
no,
movie.
I knew what he was talking about.
A restaurant or a movie? Hey,
Michael, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, before I go back to phones, I didn't get to the other details of the story because we got sidetracked on obviously the important issue here. But the story is a car thief stole the U-Haul rented by the guy, had the ashes of his mother and grandmother in the back of the U-Haul. Jared D'Amato told Fox 4 out in Kansas City that it took place after he stopped at a Best Western premiere in Kansas City Friday night to get some rest before continuing his cross-country move from Florida to Colorado. When he woke up, he realized the U-Haul he parked outside the hotel, along with everything inside, was gone.
No, outside the Best Western.
Can you imagine that you have all your belongings in a U-Haul, including the remains of loved ones, and the truck is stolen? It's gone? You know, he said it's just like when you're watching the news and you see a tornado or a hurricane wipe out someone's house and they lose all their possessions and their belongings. It feels like that. Surveillance video from the parking lot of the Best Western in Kansas City shows somebody breaking in and driving off at the U-Haul about 3:15 in the morning on Saturday. Wow. He said that his mother died a little more than a year ago. He's now pleading for help trying to get mom back. He said he can take anything, take my tools, take anything else of value, but for the love of God, please leave my mother's ashes. But again, this is my point. You don't leave remains or ashes of loved ones in a vehicle. It's just disrespectful. And again, what that would cross my mind. What if the U-Haul was stolen out of the motel parking lot? And it was.
What if the ashes, like, wiggle its way to the front and stop the car somehow? I mean, she knows where she is. She's uncomfortable.
You know what? It has to be her spirit.
How about you go and you stop the car with the urn? What is she in, an urn?
Guys, I don't know whether you know what? I'm sensing a screenplay here.
Oh.
I'm sensing a move. Now, anyway, listen, they're looking for a U-Haul with Arizona license plates. And by the way, a little fact, all U-Hauls have Arizona license plates.
They all do.
Yeah, every.
Really?
Yeah, every single U-Haul has an Arizona license plate. They're looking for AG64189.
Oh, so good. Thanks. I'll be on the lookout.
U-Haul, you got to be a wise ass here.
I mean, listen, in the middle of Kansas City, Missouri, if it comes to
listen
Tampa,
for the U-Haul driving by with a ghostly scream.
You're looking for AG64189. That's the U-Haul. All right, hold on. Phones are loaded.
Listen.
Hey, just wait. Hold on to that thought. I got to give out the 1K song here. All right, we're going to go right back to phones. And Roxanne, I want to hear what you have to say. Just let me do the song here first. So if you're on hold, I'm going right back to calls. I just think it's disrespectful. Here it is, folks. This is today's 1K song of the day. I'm going to give you the title of a song. You listen all day long. When you hear this song played, be the seventh caller and win $1,000. Today, this Thursday, the 23rd of June, you're listening for Into the Groove by Madonna. So when you hear Into the Groove by Madonna beginning at 9 all the way to 5, so sometime between 9 and 5, listen for Into the Groove, Madonna. When you hear it, be the seventh caller, 800-990-1047, and win $1,000 from Q105 And, of course, it's the 1K song of the day here on the MJ Morning Show.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, you read the license plate number twice. Like, people are going to be on lookout here in Central Florida. Oh, that's not
the... Who knows? Maybe the thief drove from Kansas City back to Florida. I don't know.
All right,
before I go back to phones on this, Roxanne, what are we going to say?
We're just getting amazing texts, and everybody's being funny. But they point out they mail ashes every day. But my funniest text that I like is, MJ doesn't believe in astrology, but he's afraid of grandma's ashes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
I'm going to get you, Todd.
I'm not afraid of grandma's ashes. It's respect. I'm not afraid that the spirit in the ashes, it's going to come like, you know, do some kind of, you know, bad mojo on me. I'm not afraid of that.
Woo.
It's just, it's respect. You don't leave the remains of loved ones in a U-Haul parked in a Best Western parking lot in Kansas City. All right, back to the phones. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Annette is in Tampa. Hi, Annette. You're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Welcome.
Hi, Andy. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, not disrespectful at all. My husband passed away 4 years ago. I still have some of his ashes. And where are they? They're in a corner getting old, dusty. He lives in my heart, in my memories. They're just ashes. No big deal, really. It's just a sentimental issue, but no, no big deal. I don't find it disrespectful at all.
Did you say that your husband's ashes are in the corner collecting dust?
Yeah, they're not. Again, I have his ashes, right? Because that was his wishes. I have his ashes, but they're just in a corner. I don't do anything with them. I don't need to look at that to remember him. I remember him every day. I respect him with his memories, with how I talk about him. It's not his ashes. Those are just ashes.
All right. I personally would show respect even for the ashes, even though you don't think the spirit lives within the ashes.
Yeah. My father, I have his ashes on our mantle in our family room. But, you know, if I accidentally put them in the closet and they got lost, he would laugh about it. Like, I totally see what she's saying. Like, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Don't let Jinxie Cat use the bathroom.
Yes.
All right, back to phones. Annette, thanks for the call. Have a great day. How about Catherine? Catherine's next on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Welcome, MJ. Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's very disrespectful to leave any ashes in any truck or car.
Yep.
So the intelligent thing to do would be to bring them inside your hotel or your residence or have them interred in the family plot. You don't leave them in some car.
Yes.
Yeah, you people are sensitive. Yeah,
we got some real high and mighty people here about ashes, I tell you. The guy is packing his house. He packs the urn or packs the box with everything else safely and securely. And then, unfortunately, he's a victim of a robbery.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anything else getting stolen. You just didn't know it was there.
Listen, it's different when you have relatives' remains stolen in a U-Haul versus a throw rug and a 32-inch Samsung television, all right? Hey, thanks for the call. How about Charles in Riverview? Charles, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, MJ. How's it going, brother?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I got a big question for you. First of all, if you say it's disrespectful to leave your dead in the car, somebody needs to please explain to me, how do you explain Mr. Griswold from National Lampoon's Vacation? On the road. So me personally, I put grandma on a wagon and leave her over by the dumpster and just, you know, go get her later.
Oh, man. That's right. Grandma was on the roof in Vacation. Oh, man. All right. Little interlude. I love Lindsey Buckingham. Anyway, where were we, Charles?
Leaving grandma on the roof, you know. Hey, God, me personally, I'd take her out in the woods camping and leave her with the raccoons, you know.
Come on, Charles.
Wow.
Terrible.
Old hound dog.
Let me grab Jennifer. Jennifer, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Welcome.
I would never, I lost my daughter almost 6 years ago, and I would never leave her. If I was moving in the back of the U-Haul, it would always go inside with me.
And that's what I'm talking about. That is the decent thing to do. I could not leave my loved one's ashes in a vehicle. I could not do it.
Oh, please.
I couldn't either because I believe that she's looking down on us and she's right here and she's with us.
You lazy son of a bitch. I can't believe you won't bring me into the Best Western.
Jennifer, thanks for phoning. I'm sorry about the loss for your daughter, okay?
I'm sorry, too.
Thank you.
Hi, Jen. Have a great day. Dave is in Tampa. Dave, look at the phones on this. And the texts are blowing up as well.
Like crazy.
All right, MJ Morning Show. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
We're well. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's say grandma dies. You're so respectful that you buy some big fancy urn and you put her in there and then you move. So you're going to want to pack her in a nice, secure, big box, good packaging, nice and bulky. And now you're going to have to drag that big, giant box in and out every time you stop.
Yeah,
or you're
going to
leave her nice and secure.
You can also have, well, first of all, when you put ashes in an urn, the ashes loose, so you typically have the ashes in a bag inside the urn.
I've seen them both ways.
Exactly. So I've seen ashes in a bag, and people will put it into a nice urn. Just, if it's a heavy urn, then just pack the urn, but put the ashes, if they're in a bag, or listen, if they're not in a bag, just put them in a Ziploc or something. I don't know, with the gripper zipper, right? You know, the yellow and green make blue seal, whatever the hell that is.
Yellow and blue make green, come on.
Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Yeah. Anyway, hey, go ahead. I'm sorry, what?
But then you're back to being disrespectful, just dumping her in a Ziploc.
No. A lot of the cremains, aren't they given to you in dog's ashes?
Dead
well?
People prefer Glad bags.
So, I got cremains, and they were in a regular brown box.
In a box. Or in a box bag, exactly. Yeah. All right, let me grab just a few more. We got to move on. I just think it's disrespectful. Folks, if you're tuning in now, you don't know what's going on. Story about a guy moving from Florida to Colorado. He stops at a Best Western in Kansas City. He's got his U-Haul with all the stuff packed. It's in the parking lot, 3:00 in the morning. A thief steals the U-Haul, all of his belongings, and his mother and grandmother's ashes were inside the truck. And I said, that's just disrespectful. You don't leave them in the truck. You make sure that the ashes are packed in a bag that you can then bring into the motel. You don't leave them in the truck. A few more calls, then we're going to move on here. Sam's in Tampa. Hey, Sam, MJ Morning Show, you're up.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Doing well. Go ahead.
My thing is, if it's disrespectful to do that with ashes and not take them everywhere, how is it not disrespectful for the people burying their relatives and not taking them everywhere?
Yeah, put them down there with the worms.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's different if you're burying somebody in a ceremony, in a cemetery, versus I think it's a bit of a stretch, but thanks for checking in.
This is a ghoulish segment.
It's really taking off the rails.
Last two calls. Pat is in Tampa. Hey, Pat, MJ Morning Show, you're up.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Pat.
I just feel like it is kind of disrespectful, but here's one that's even more disrespectful for you. My husband was one of four siblings, and his mother passed away, and his two brothers took her cremains, and one moved back to New York, the other one stayed here in Florida, and by choice, he became homeless, and he had a whole bunch of stuff in storage. Nobody knew. We kept saying, where's, mom's ashes? What are they going to do with them? Nobody knew anything.
So what happened?
We get a phone call, or my sister-in-law gets a phone call one day from a storage company, and they said, hey, we have something here we think you might be interested in. And it turned out to be my mother-in-law's ashes.
Oh, wow.
Because they had let the storage unit go by the wayside.
Yep.
So...
So you're telling me that your mother-in-law's ashes were like bought at like some storage wars auction?
That's why they actually called.
Yeah, they called before the contents went to auction. They actually called. That's a nice thing. Anyway, did a relative go collect the ashes and then pay for the delinquent back storage fees?
I honestly don't even know.
Okay.
Because we had no contact with anybody at that time.
Oh, hey, Pat, thanks for the call. Look at this. Last call. This is a great call. Jake worked for U-Haul and has stories. Hey, Jake, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. Jake in Tampa. Go ahead.
Good morning, MJ. Yeah, everybody's overlooking the most important factor in this picture. Human remains are not allowed to by U-Haul policy to be transported in a U-Haul.
Are you serious?
If you read the packet that they give you...
Hold on. Ashes or actual corpses? What? Hold on a minute. Oh. Ashes or actual corpses or both?
Well, it says human remains. It doesn't specify. Now, having said that, we would allow people to, you know, in the cab with them if they wanted to carry the box stuff, but... It, as a general principle, no gasoline, no combustible engines, no propane, no human remains. It's just, it's in a list.
Ooh. So. Now, wow. I wonder if people read that fine print, though, Jake. Is it,
no one ever reads
right?
it.
Of course not.
No one ever reads it.
Man, I'll tell you what, working for U-Haul, you must have seen a little bit of everything.
My favorite one out in Grady Judd's area. Well, first of all, let's explain what I did. I was what they called a field manager. And you know, MJ, when you rent U-Hauls, you can rent them from the corporate store where everybody's running around in a U-Haul shirt, or you can rent it from like Billy Bob's Bait and Tackle that also rents U-Hauls.
Yeah, some gas stations and some places are like outlets.
I was
yeah.
responsible for a good number of the Billy Bob's places.
Right.
Okay. And one out in Polk County called me that one of their big trucks, the 26-foot trucks, had been stolen. And so we were tracking it down. I was working with Polk County Sheriff's Office, and we find it at some off-name seedy hotel, and they were using this 26-foot truck as a mobile brothel.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
Good idea.
I'm not kidding. Now, going back to remains, though, don't forget, remember there was a U-Haul.
It was U-Whore. Well,
that's funny.
Hey, that's what I do for a living.
They were storing bodies in U-Haul trucks at the hospitals or in the beginning of COVID. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, that's right.
I remember those videos.
When the hospitals and the morgues were getting overloaded, there were pictures of bodies being...
About disrespect.
Oh, yeah. you're right. Up in grandma's attic. So, grandma in grandma's attic. I mean, it's apropos, but anyway. Hey, listen, Jake.
They put multiple grandmas in grandma's attic.
Exactly. Hey, Jake, good phone call. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Mendez.
Have a great one.
I had a joke about human remains and that brothel U-Haul, but I decided to let it go.
All right, now we got to move on. We have a lot of ground to cover. We spoke about this in depth when we started the show this morning. I want to just take a couple of moments here, and it is the apparent lightning loss controversy that, was that goal legit last night? And I'm not talking about the puck being flung up and getting stuck in the top of the net. The puck went in. There's no, although there was some questioning about, oh, was that in or was that on top of the net? Did it? Here's the deal, folks. There is a pretty big lightning avalanche controversy this morning. And of course, the Lightning lost last night in overtime. There are claims that the goal was illegitimate because the Avalanche had too many players on the ice. So here's what we know. I'm looking at the USA Today, a little hockey blog, and they put together the story, all kinds of tweets out there. And according to Tampa Bay head coach John Cooper, was that a legal goal last night? And it appears that it was not. That there were too many players on the ice. Obviously, you know what happened last night. The Avalanche defeated the Lightning in overtime, sudden death. The score was 3-2. The series is now Avalanche 3, Lightning 1. If the Lightning would have won at home last night, the series would have been tied 2-2 before it went back to Colorado, to Denver, on Friday night. Now, here's the deal. John Cooper took only one question last night after the game, and he said that his heart breaks for his players because, essentially, the winning goal shouldn't have been a winning goal. Now, here is the audio bite, and it is premised on the fact, the claim is that there was an extra Avalanche player on the ice. So where the hell was, if that's true, where the hell was the officiating? Listen to John Cooper last night.
We're all in this together, players, coaches, refs, everybody. But this one's going to sting much more than others just because I think it was taken on. It was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players. Because we probably still should be playing. I'll be available tomorrow.
Yes, Rocks.
Okay, so after the game, the NHL has put out their statement. They said a too many men on the ice penalty is a judgment call that can be made by any of the four officials on ice. And the four officials on ice said that they did not see too many men. And this call is not subject to video review.
It is not subject to review. The game is over. The Avalanche are now 3-1 in the series. One more game. And the Avalanche wins. One more game, and if the Avalanche wins, listen, it's best of seven. And they're 3-1. All they need is one more win, and then they win the Stanley Cup. So here are a bunch of tweets that were assembled by the USA Today hockey blog late last night. And one was, John, you can't throw out an accusation like that all willy-nilly without an explanation. Does anyone have any thoughts on John Cooper's reference? Then another tweeter wrote, I think this is because the Lightning believe that Colorado had too many men on the ice when the winning goal was scored. Then another tweeter says, oh no, if true, that's simply an officiating mishap that cannot happen at this stage of the season. Investigators on Twitter, so all your little, your hockey, fans out there, they started dissecting this thing and looking at various clips frame by frame to see if they could back up the claims here that there were too many on the ice. And Game Sheet says that there were six Avalanche players on the ice when the overtime goal was scored. It's also worth noting that the NHL's official game sheets are generated by automatic puck tracking. So barring a technological mishap, Colorado did indeed have six players on the ice plus the goalie. But this is where it gets hinky. Apparently the NHL made a manual change. The electronic automatic accounting, the automatic puck tracking had six players on the ice plus goalie, but then the NHL went back and manually corrected it. So is this a cover-up? Is the NHL trying to cover this up? The NHL changed this on their website to account for just five skaters on the ice. So the initial was generated automatically by the computer, and then it seems that they went back and they, erased the evidence.
All right. So while none of us in this room are hockey experts, they have line changes. And it was a very loose line change. It's not like there were six players on their side just beating up on the Lightning and they had a pseudo power play going on for a long time. One player was on the ice for several seconds longer than he probably should have been.
Well, that's a violation.
Right, but it's a judgment. It's a judgment call.
Well, it's a bad judgment call.
None of the four referees in their interview after the game, and I'm reading this off the Atlantic as we're talking about it, said that they saw it at the time. They were looking at the action happening on the ice, not the loose line change, which apparently happens all the time, and the Lightning has gotten away with in the past as well. So while it's really sour grapes for the Tampa fans,
Have you seen the pictures, photos on Twitter where they capture it and show the six players?
Yeah, the guy should have, the sixth player coming off the ice, McKinnon, he should have been a lot closer to the bench before the other guy got out and got onto the ice.
It's a problem.
But it's a loose line change.
Yes, Andrew.
Right, there are other calls in the game that were not made by the officials, whether they didn't see them or they didn't want to make a call or they were making up for a previous mistake they made. But as far as I'm concerned, you call it all.
You have to, at this level of play, the Stanley Cup Finals?
Or you let him play a little bit.
Lord Stanley.
No, it's a violation, you call it.
Let me tell you right now, Lord Stanley's ashes are in the back of a U-Haul right now, and they're spinning. All right.
I know you're making, he was watching. I know you're making a U-Haul joke because of our last story. Do you know where Lord Stanley's ashes are?
Where? In Edmonton, Alberta.
No, they're inside the cup.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. That's the... The Stanley Cup is actually a big urn for Lord Stanley. So when you see all those guys hoisting it over their head at any time, if it broke,
drinking out of it.
I know. How disgusting is that?
You guys see yesterday, did you see all the stories that were coming out about the flamingo test? Did you see this?
What?
The flamingo test.
All right.
Oh, is this when you're going to die?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I Yes, I saw that.
So yesterday...
Oh, God, no, well, not again.
Hold on a minute.
Is this the same thing as when you sit on your butt, well, and Roxanne, and try to get up from sitting directly on your butt?
Hang on. Guys, if I say the flamingo test, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, inverted knees.
What?
Don't flamingos have, like, backwards knees?
No. All right, listen. The flamingo test apparently can reveal the likelihood of you dying within 7 years, according to a study. Now, here's the science.
All right, come on.
Middle-aged people who cannot balance on one leg for 10 seconds are at a dramatically increased risk of dying within 7 years. This is a new study. Researchers asked 1,702 Brazilians. Wonder how many of those Brazilians had Brazilians. So 1,702, between the ages of 51 and 75, to undergo the brief physical test. And then they subsequently tracked their health over the following years. The study was just published yesterday in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. This is a real medical journal. The results just came out, and it says the simple test should be included during a person's annual physical, as it provides useful information regarding mortality risk in middle-aged and older men and women. Now, where does middle age actually begin?
Mid-50s, I would call it.
Probably. Is it late 40s, early 50s? Do me a favor. Go ahead and Google, what is middle-aged?
Yeah. 40 to 60.
40 to 60 is middle-aged? Okay.
It's quite a range.
Is that a fact?
I mean, who's going to live to 120?
All right, so 40 to 60, which, listen, 40, 50, it's not that old these days. So we're all in that range of 40
Speak
to 60.
For yourself.
Oh, that's right. Roxanne is 17. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Rox.
Yeah, Roxanne just graduated Chamberlain High School.
I'm an intern.
Yeah, she just graduated. She's really pissed off about the Chiefs and the whole mascot going
away.
We're
getting ready to have the 20th anniversary of Roxanne's 27th birthday coming up.
All right, so middle age is between 40 and 60. So I think the thing is obvious what we got to do here. We've got to do right now on the fly, live, the MJ Morning Show flamingo test.
I just kill me now, okay? just shoot me right now. Come on.
So as part of the so-called flamingo test, each participant was asked to stand barefoot on one leg while keeping their other leg raised in the air as though mimicking a flamingo.
Oh, that's why they call it the flamingo test.
They were required to keep their head upright and their arms straight at their side for 10 seconds. And that people that can't balance on one leg with those parameters for 10 seconds or longer, they are dramatically at an increased risk of dying within 7 years. All right, we're doing this. We're doing this right now.
Isn't this a field sobriety test as well?
I think you're right.
Are you going to make me say the alphabet and touch my nose? This is awful.
All right, now, I don't know. Our cameras should be able to catch some of this.
Some of it.
Yeah. By the way, MJTV, folks, every morning, MJTV, you can watch the whole show live. We have four or five cameras in the studio, and you can watch it all. MJTV. And if you're just listening on the radio now, you can go back and watch this later on, because every day, every show is available on video to replay whenever at your leisure. Just go to MJMorningShow.com and click on MJTV. All right, here we go. Who wants to go first? Roxanne,
okay,
go first.
I'll go first.
All right, Roxanne, you need to take your shoes off.
All right.
Are you kicking your shoes off?
I have a deformed toe right now.
Why?
Because my daughter ripped off my toenail.
Oh, Wiki toe.
Yes. Yes.
Your daughter?
Accidentally. It was.
How does your daughter accidentally rip off your toenail?
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah, she was, we were both pushing the stroller. She was trying to help me push the stroller. And then she backed into me, like, you know, when someone speed bumps you. And then it just went right over my toe and, yeah.
Like the whole, the whole thing came off?
Half of it. It split in half.
Oh, God.
It's disgusting. Ugh. Okay, but yeah, I'll take my shoes off.
Oh, my. What was that?
I said, yeah, I'll take my shoes off. Do my test.
Hold on.
Okay.
That's what I have to do, right? I have to take my shoes off.
Yeah, so go over to Froggy's camera. So go over to Froggy's camera. We can get full body shot here.
Yeah, come in the corner, I think.
All right, Roxanne, here we go. 10 seconds. I'll start the clock. Okay. So you know what you do.
Here.
So your head up straight, your arms at your side.
Hudson, move over.
And I need you to lift up one leg and stand for 10 seconds. Are you ready?
Which
And somebody tell me if
like a flamingo, like a flamingo.
Yeah, hold.
Put, move backwards. The mic. Move like the mic flamingo. Over.
Like this?
No, right.
No, no. Your arms at your side. Yes, at your side. Now, you're not doing like pirouettes or something.
Hold on, you can't use your
arm. Technique.
You can't use your arm to bounce.
Roxanne, like this. Look at the picture. It's like this, folks. This is it. Just
like a flamingo.
Stand on one leg and just lift the other one up. That's
been doing it.
With your hands at your side. Yeah. And here we go. 3, 2, and. All right. Waiting for, so far, so good.
She's been doing it for 30 seconds, waiting for you to hit the timer. She's the epitome of
You can't put that's wrong.
What?
You're putting you're crossing your other leg. You're crossing your lifted leg behind your other leg. No, okay. You have to lift it just straight up off the ground.
Roxanne could lift her leg over her head for 10 seconds. No, right, MJ. She's doing it right now. I mean, MJ,
doing it for 30 seconds. That's what I've been doing.
Like this, just like that. Just off. All right, got it?
All right.
I had to walk over and.
Oh my God.
All right, so you've passed. All right, you're fine.
Yeah,
all right.
I think so.
Roxanne passed. Yeah, let's pick Roxanne. Let's figure out who's going to go last. All right,
Froggy, go ahead. Do the flamingo, and let's see if you're going to live for 7 years beyond today. All right, you ready? All right, Frog, can you get up?
He's getting...
why are you dragging?
Did you just hit a vape pen? Did you just hit a vape pen?
All right, here we go.
There's a vape story, by the way. Did you see the Juul story?
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's why I brought this.
Yeah, we got to get into the Juul story. We'll do that next. All right. Whose headphones are, like, cranked up and feeding back?
I don't know. It might be mine.
Anyway.
Clinton's, maybe.
All right, so here we go. 10 seconds. Do the flamingo, Froggy, and go. Hold on, wrong button.
Okay.
And go.
One, two. He's doing it. He's doing it. He has his arms out. He's in the zone. He does have his shoes on.
All right. Appears that
my feet stink. These shoes smell. I don't want to take them off.
All right. Froggy passes.
Yes.
All right. Let me do mine now.
Oh, my heart. God.
All right. Here we go. I'm standing in front of the camera. You're probably not going to see my full body shot, but you guys look under the counter, okay?
We'll look under the counter.
Arms at my side. Here we go. And 10 seconds beginning now.
When I look under the counter, all I can see is your crotch, so I'm not going to look under the counter anymore.
What the?
What? Help! He fell! He's going to die!
Oh, my God!
He fell!
No, hold on. I've ever seen.
What?
Nobody was expecting
that. Wait a minute. What did you just blow in my face?
So hold on. Froggy has...
Well, I'm standing here, and Froggy just blew something.
You fell! So you didn't do it.
What? No, right, you just attacked me with some kind of smoke. What?
So,
what?
MJ,
while I'm doing this, what did you blow in my face?
Here's what happened.
What?
You're doing your flamingo test, and you kind of get into this little mental zone to let the time pass, and you shut your eyes. And Froggy, who we commented has a vape pen, he took a big drag of this probably marijuana-induced vape pen and blew it all in your face.
I know!
Like a semi-truck pulled in front of you on the interstate and just... hit another gear.
Oh, my God.
You failed. The only one that failed.
I did fail. You just blew a rancid.
Excuse me, sir. Are you going to the influence?
I'm doing it again. All right, here we go.
I hope we got that on camera.
Blow vape smoke in my face.
Andrew, could you see a smoke cloud?
You turd. All right, here we go. All right, 10 seconds and go. All right, here I am.
All right.
Nice.
What form?
My form is phenomenal.
That's what I said. I said, what form?
I'm telling you.
I said it in an admiration.
Your foot is barely up.
What? That's what you're supposed to do.
All it has to be is up the ground.
I'm doing it correctly.
All of us are doing it.
All right, so I've just passed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the last one now is
Fester,
because we all think that you're going to flunk it.
I think I'm going to fail.
I'm saving the failure for last. All right, here we go. Fester on. Hey, Hudson, hang on 1 sec, buddy.
We're
on the radio. All right, so here we go. Fester, are your shoes off?
Shoes off.
All right.
Fester, you have very long toes. It's like, I think you'll get a good grip on the ground. Right. That'll help you.
All right. Fester, here we go.
Pull my pants down.
In 10 seconds, hold it for 10. Here we go. Fester, the flamingo test. 3, 2, and go.
All right, it's up. 1,
oh, man.
2,
He's
3,
He's having...
4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
I don't... 9, 10. No.
Oh, my God. Fester, that is a flunk.
I did it.
Oh, you, Hudson.
No, I don't.
I did it for 9.5 seconds.
I don't think you can be in motion the whole time.
Dude, you're
wobbling
like a building swaying in an 8.0 earthquake.
I'm going to live another 7 years.
No, Hudson, Daddy's got some bad news for you, buddy.
Hey, not that bad. We just renewed the term life. Not that bad news.
Dude, you...
Go to your mom. Yeah, I feel good.
I don't know if you're going to live another 7 years according to the parameters of the study, the flamingo test.
You know the famous footage of that one bridge that was about to break? It was like in the
50s. Oh, from the 40s, yeah. The harmonics of the bridge, yeah. like Spokane, Washington.
And there was like one car in it. Yeah. That was Fester.
Yeah.
He was just wobbling like that old bridge.
So if you want to talk about kicking the bucket, yesterday, MJ, and probably isn't on your radar, but it kind of hit me.
Right.
A famous football player who... has my exact body type.
Yeah.
Kick the bucket at 55.
The goose.
The goose.
Oh.
Tony Siragusa. Yeah.
He was the best.
He was a great ball player.
Tony Siragusa played for, was it the Ravens?
The Ravens.
Yeah. So he died yesterday at 55. Yeah. Now, did they reveal cause of death yet?
No, they have. Everything I said is just, or saw, is he died in his sleep.
Yeah. Tony Siragusa, the goose, died
when
in his
sleep. When he would do games with Fox and come to Tampa, I was friends with him, so I would go hang out with him on the sidelines. Super nice guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone had great things to say about that guy. Anyway, Tony Siragusa, the goose, rest in peace.
But he's 55, and he kind of looks almost exactly like me from, like, you know, 20 yards away.
I can't drive.
Yeah, but he had a healthier lifestyle.
Did he? You know what? 55.
He might have.
He was a football player. That worked out.
I can't drive 55. The guy didn't live past 55, which is awful.
That's young.
That's too damn young. All right, now on to the Juul story. I'm talking about Juul, J-U-U-L. I'm talking about the vape, which I guess Froggy brought in his vape device, which you blew in my face.
That's why you're feeling so good right now, huh?
This is really kind of serious. Juul e-cigarettes are going to be banned in the United States. So does that mean that, is it all vape devices?
No.
Or just Juul?
No, so I heard a story about this yesterday, and it said several have received FDA approval for tobacco-flavored cartridges.
Right.
But they're going through the chemical composition of Juul, and also they're taking into Juul's initial marketing when they tried to appeal to kids
but
their
flavors. Can Juul fix this and become compliant? Here's the story. This is the actual Newswire story. So if you're a Juul user, listen up. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is preparing to order Juul Labs to take its e-cigarettes off the market in the United States, according to the Wall Street Journal. Came out yesterday. Shares in the tobacco giant Altria Group, which owns 35% of the vaping products maker. By the way, Altria, isn't that the former Philip Morris? I think it might be. Can you look that up, Rox? Would you mind?
Yes.
Is Altria the former Philip Morris? So they've got a little piece of the
Altria,
A-L-T-R-I-A. Yeah. Juul's face heightened scrutiny from regulators, lawmakers, state attorneys general over the appeal of its nicotine products to teenagers. Under pressure, the company in late 2019 had halted U.S. sales of several flavors. Remember they said they had a whole bunch of flavors that appealed to kids?
I didn't know this, but when Juul first hit the market, they bought commercials like on Nick Jr.
What? No, they didn't.
This is what I heard yesterday in the report. They bought commercials during on those stations.
Oh. All kids that get slimed will also get Juul vape cartridges. All right, so the FDA declined to comment on the report, but Altria and Juul did not respond to requests either. This clearly comes as a surprise to the market. We would expect that Juul would appeal the decision and remain on the market through the process, which would likely take a year or more. But the looming verdict comes nearly 2 years after Juul had applied for approval to keep selling e-cigarettes in the country. The FDA review of the applications were based on whether the e-cigarettes are effective in getting smokers to quit, and if so, whether the benefits to smokers outweigh the health damage to new users, including teenagers. So that's a pretty big deal if Juul has to take their stuff off the market.
Yeah, in the early days of Juul, they bought commercials on Nickelodeon, the Cartoon Network, ads in 17 magazines.
You got to be kidding me.
And on educational sites geared toward middle school and high schoolers.
They were marketing these things to kids watching Nick.
And, you know, they aren't tobacco flavored. They're like strawberry cream flavored, you know, and it's much different.
That's crazy.
Yes, you are correct. Philip Morris used to, or Altria used to be Philip Morris.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you. I thought that. I just wanted to make sure I was right. Hey, Hudson.
Hey, you gotta be quiet, buddy.
Remember when the headphones are on?
This is the long break.
Hudson, keep talking, but you're good.
All right. Speaking of, what did you say about cream? You were saying
one of the flavors of like strawberry cream flavored vape cigarettes or vape things.
All right. Well, you said cream, and it just reminded me of the Krispy Kreme story. Did you see this? Krispy Kreme is coming out with ice cream. So Krispy Kreme is going to have soft serve donut flavored Krispy Kreme ice cream available at their stores.
Took them so long.
Yeah, really. So Krispy Kreme has debuted soft serve ice cream in 10 markets, and it's expanding. It's coming to the Tampa Krispy Kremes very, very shortly here in the Tampa Bay area. So Krispy Kreme, known for the hot now glazed donuts, they're having an ice cream flavor called like original glazed.
Ooh, you can get donuts a la mode?
Sure. I'm sure you can get a donut with a dollop of ice cream on top. So Krispy Kreme's original glazed soft serve ice cream, available in 10 markets, including all of the Charlotte, North Carolina stores, that began on Tuesday. And first time in the company's more than 80 years that they're adding another sweet treat category other than donuts. It's been in the works, I guess, for years. The pandemic slowed them down. The goal at Krispy Kreme is to be the most loved sweet treat brand in the world. The ice cream made with Krispy Kreme's iconic glazed donut flavor and whole milk will be available as a shake or as a cone or in a cup.
All right. I don't want to gross anybody out.
Yeah.
But just hearing you read this story.
Yes.
You're not. It moved. I mean.
Oh my God.
It's only one flavor, right?
Stop. That's all we need.
It's the original glazed donut flavor. Krispy Kreme ice cream is coming. They'll have let's see. The original glazed soft serve menu. Oh, here's the menu. Shakes, original glazed, strawberry iced sprinkle, chocolate iced, lemon filled, cookies and cream, birthday batter, and coffee and cream. Then cups and waffle cones, original glazed, strawberry iced sprinkled, chocolate iced. Anyway, there's a whole menu.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So all of the Charlotte, North Carolina stores already had them beginning on Tuesday. Other Krispy Kremes in the Carolinas will have them as well. Four other states will offer ice cream starting Tuesday as well in Norfolk and Newport News, Virginia. What about the Krispy Kreme on Virginia Beach Boulevard right near Independence?
Let's call right now and find out.
Right near Pembroke. I wonder if they, because that was my former neck of the woods. And then here we go, folks, Florida. Krispy Kreme also plans to expand the ice cream this summer, including Mobile and Southwest Alabama and the Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Pensacola markets. So sometime this summer, the Tampa Bay Krispy Kremes are going to get the new original glazed Krispy Kreme soft serve ice cream.
That's great.
I got to be honest. I'm very curious to taste this. Yeah.
You didn't read the last part that it's always hot, though, like the donuts, so they're just completely melted.
It's all melted. Hot. Ice cream hot now.
They just gave you a cone.
This is the worst ice cream ever.
Oh. The cone is disintegrated because it's a boiling, melted ice cream in your cone. Oh. Hot now. It's flashing.
Delicious.
I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued here, baby. And speaking of donuts, I'm supposed to know this. The Houston-based Shipley Donuts will open three locations in Tampa Bay.
I've never heard of Shipley's before.
So who gave me this?
I sent it to you. Because every time on my phone,
I thought you sent this to me because it was like something of significance. Are these famous donuts?
Yeah, it's not voodoo donuts.
Okay, so on my phone, I have a Google News alert set for every time donuts are in the news. I knew about the Krispy Kreme ice cream.
Nuts.
I knew about Shipley Donuts being expanding to Tampa
Nuts.
Bay.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, it's a donut show.
Well, thank you very much.
I bet you they're good.
I bet you they are.
When we get back, folks, when we get back in just a matter of moments here on the MJ Morning Show, let me tell you what's coming up, and this is important. Don't tune out now. You want to hang with us here because I've got a Tom Hanks question. Tom Hanks loves to do this. Now, this is on the heels of him telling people to back the F up.
Oh, that was the best video.
All right. Now, hold on. So on the heels of that, I want to know if Tom Hanks is presumptuous. Is he reeking of self-importance? Or is this a cool thing? Now, this is a judgment call, and it involves Tom Hanks. And it's not about him telling the people to back the F off when they almost knocked over his wife up in New York recently. No, this is something different. So we got a Tom Hanks situation. Also, if you're a little heavier than you want to be, is this happening in your bedroom when you sleep? This could be a contributing factor. So hold on. Oh, that. And the 22-year-old that went to the gyno and said, hey, sterilize me. I don't want kids. Do you know about this? All right,
yeah,
hold on.
I do.
Yeah, wait till you hear what happened next. That's just a smidge of what's coming up. And we're going to do this in minutes here on the MJ Morning Show. So don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, MJ and the crew here, Roxanne, Fester, and Froggy. And, of course, me, Andrew, our producer, and Tom Hanks. So we had a Tom Hanks story earlier this week, and it involved Tom Hanks telling, like, the paparazzi to back the bleep up. The story was Tom Hanks was leaving a restaurant with his wife, Rita Wilson, up in New York, up in Manhattan, and the paparazzi were all up in their kitchen and they're, you know, walking backwards. Anyway, one of the members of the paparazzi apparently, like, bashes into Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks's wife, and, like, nearly knocks her down. And this is what it sounded like.
Be careful, Tom.
Watch out, move. Been a long time, Tom.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait.
Stop it. Whoa.
What are you doing?
Back the f*** off.
What are y'all doing?
What do you want?
All right, so that's what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks, ladies and gentlemen.
He looks sick, doesn't
with
he?
With a back the...
Back the f*** off.
I mean, you know, you don't expect that from Tom Hanks.
It's America's dad.
I mean, you don't expect his wife to get mowed over by
that's
paparazzi.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, well, listen, I understand Tom Hanks getting angry at Rita Wilson, his wife, almost getting knocked to the ground. No, he has a right to react. You know, and I guess it's just kind of a shocker. You don't expect to hear, you know,
yeah,
that kind of anger with the F-bomb coming out of, you know, the friendliest guy on the planet, Tom Hanks, is what I'm saying.
Back the f-
all right, so
but tire my wife?
Well, that is just a little bit of a precursor to where I'm going. Oh, did you want to add something?
I was just saying it gets frenzied when you're getting when the paparazzi and it's like you're tense. Like that's a total normal reaction for him to have, especially what they did to her. So I don't begrudge him for that.
No, hey, listen, he was angry and they shouldn't be bashing into his wife, almost knocking her down. All right, so I just wanted to kind of refresh that item as a precursor to where. Can I help you? Are you doing your own little show over there or what?
It just kind of occurred to me. Roxanne is like referring to the paparazzi in first person. Like when the paparazzi's around me, I can tell you it's a very frenzied environment and I don't begrudge him for that.
Well, she's like, always around like the most famous guy on earth.
What? When all the creative loafing cameras are all following you around around South Howard?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's why I always
When you're at the meat market in Hyde Park and all of the local paparazzi are like, oh, my God, we got to get a picture of Roxanne. What is she wearing? Yeah. What is she wearing? Oh, my God, look at her shoes.
So the
we're from Ian Beckle's new magazine. Let's get a picture.
There you go. Hey, we love Ian Beckle.
We put you on the cover of Dignitary magazine.
Ian Beckles is the best. Love the guy.
I actually I call their publication when I know I'm going somewhere and I want to be photographed.
Yes.
Oh, hey, got a tip for you. I hear that Roxanne is going to be at the Burger King on Kennedy. Just to the east of West Shore.
Roxanne, is this you again?
About 1 o'clock today. Yeah, that's where Roxanne's going to be.
Is this Roxanne again?
Roxanne? I mean, Roxanne, you call us four times a day.
It's tipping us off where she's going to be. All right, so Tom Hanks, that happened earlier in the week where he's telling the people to back the F off after they almost knocked his wife down. But I just want to, like, morph into this other Tom Hanks thing that I saw. And it's the fact that Tom Hanks was on the late night show with Seth Meyers on NBC on Tuesday night. And this apparently comes up in the conversation that he loves to crash weddings.
I've seen pictures of Tom Hanks at wedding photos or people proposing, and he's just around. He gets in the middle of it.
And then he's like, hey, let's take a picture. It's Tom Hanks.
Oh, does he need more attention in his life?
But that's the question.
What the hell is he doing?
That is the question that I have. Is Tom Hanks being presumptuous that people want Tom Hanks interrupting or crashing their wedding? You think most people think it's the greatest thing in the world, or are they just playing along that they're not annoyed? Is Tom Hanks being presumptuous, or I think I use the term, self-important? You think this is an imposition? I mean, I genuinely think that Tom Hanks is a nice guy.
I'd kick him out.
I have a very, very high approval rating, or I've got a high regard for Tom Hanks. I like the guy. I think he's a great actor. I have nothing wrong with him. But he was saying that it's my ego unchecked as far as his wedding crashing. He says, I just can't help but think, what would these people like more than anything else to remember this magic moment of, oh, I know, me. So okay. That's what he said on the Seth Meyers late night NBC show.
I think right, there's a reasonable amount of humor involved in all that. But think about it. Think of celebrities who you would 100% of the time be happy to see. Tom Hanks walks in right now. Hey, Tom.
Man, I'll kick Tom Hanks in the crotch if he walked in here.
Would you? Would you?
Now his son, he's a good actor.
Tom? I guess he's known for this. I guess there are multiple times where it's been documented that Tom Cruise does it also, that Tom Hanks just crashes weddings.
There's
another
famous celebrity who crashes weddings, Bill Murray. He does it a lot,
too. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
What's the matter with
no,
these
no, that's
people?
Right.
I would love to do it.
I've seen that. But you think is it a positive or a negative or...
It's kind of weird because...
I'd rather have Bill Murray, I gotta be honest.
I
mean,
I feel like Bill Murray does it, and I feel like it's really cute and sweet.
He's
and then
a legend.
I think Tom Hanks doing it, I think, is like pretty full of himself.
Both of you guys. You have a wedding at the Four Seasons, and you're sitting there getting ready for whatever's coming up next. The bride's cutting the cake, and in walks Tom Hanks? That's pretty awesome.
Please, if Gallagher showed up at your wedding, I'd be happy.
Okay, I would have been happy if Gallagher
smashing
showed up.
Should we grab some calls on this? I think maybe we should ask the question. If you were getting married, or let's say when you got married, or if you're going to get married in the future, would you mind if Tom Hanks, or you brought up Bill Murray, would you mind if they crashed your wedding?
Well, anybody's going to say their favorite actor and be like, oh, it'd be so great.
I mean, Tom Hanks is such a likable actor. Why don't you pick somebody like Amy Schumer?
Oh, my God.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, somebody like hot or cold on, you know.
Or maybe we should ask the question, who would you like to crash your wedding versus who would you hate crash your wedding?
How about, like, didn't Rosie O'Donnell crash Trump's wedding and eat all the cake or something?
All right, she was invited to the wedding.
Hey, Andrew, do me a favor. Look at our sound effects.
She showed up.
Look at our sound effects and see if you can find Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell.
She ate all the cake. She's a fat slob.
I'll let you play them from in there. So if you find them, bring up all the Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell wedding cake. Well, listen, Trump has said some crazy things about Rosie O'Donnell.
The things he said since this clip are way out.
The actual things he said since this clip makes this seem actually really sane and mild.
But let's go to phones here. So, listen, there are a litany of questions. So, I mean, whatever you want to answer, number one, would you mind if Tom Hanks crashed your wedding, or you think that it's presumptuous and it's disruptive? And then also, who would you like to crash your wedding?
That's a dumb question.
Who would you hate?
I want Dylan Dreyer for the Today Show to crash my wedding, please. I would give you a lap dance during it.
Did you just look up and see her on TV, and that's why you mentioned her name?
And Al Roker, but she is something else.
All right, let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. So a couple of questions that I want to ask. You think that it's Tom Hanks being full of himself when he crashes people's wedding, or do you think it's cool? Would you mind? And then you can also say who you'd love to crash your wedding or who you'd hate to crash your wedding. All right, fire up the phones right now. We'll blow through a couple of calls here. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. But listen, the underlying question is, you think Tom Hanks is cool for doing this, or is it just him full of himself?
So I went to a hoity-toity party one time.
Yep.
And Cedric the Entertainer showed up.
What?
Cedric the Entertainer, the very famous.
Whose wedding was this?
Yeah, it was a party. It was a party. What the? And we're at this guy's nice place, backyard, on the water. Cedric walks in, sits down with a couple of his. Cedric brings four or five people with him.
He's got an entourage.
The guy who owns the house says, yeah, I don't know who the hell you are. You got to go.
Really?
He kicks him right out.
I'm here to entertain.
Hold on. Where was this? When was this?
I don't want to pontificate on who the person was.
Why not?
Oh, my God.
Right, how long ago was this?
He doesn't want to pontificate.
Wait a second. All right. Something's going on here because you're doing hand signals with Roxanne. What's going on?
No, it should be with you.
He just said he doesn't want to pontificate about it.
I don't want to pontificate with the legions of...
It was the general. It was Cigar Dave.
I think it was Cigar Dave. Cigar Dave's house.
What happened? When was this?
We can't waste Bostello on
it
you.
It must have been 8 years ago. Cigar Dave had a party, and Gary Sheffield was there because he had a line of cigars.
Right.
And then somehow Cedric the Entertainer showed up, and we're like, "Hey, there's Cedric." And Dave's like, "You got to leave."
Who are you? Cigar Dave threw Cedric the Entertainer out of his house?
I think so.
What'd I tell you about that guy?
Cedric, I know.
No, Dave. The guy who says paper airplanes are worth more than I'll ever make in my life. Dave, how about you now, Dave?
All right, Froggy has an axe to grind with Dave. That's not
him. I love Cigar Dave. You know what? We ought to call Cigar Dave quickly.
I don't know, God,
who cares?
Hang on a minute. No, I love Cigar Dave. Hang on a minute.
Remember Fesh was on his TV show? That was good.
Remember he had that TV show for like a minute?
But you were the star.
I did the grilling segment.
Tony Fatso next.
I'm calling Cigar Dave. Hey, do me a favor.
I don't even know if he'll remember that.
Andrew, can you pick up the phone? All right, it's ringing. Just tell Cigar Dave that
I didn't even know it was him.
Tell Cigar Dave it's the MJ Morning Show calling live, if he picks up.
He's looking at his phone. He sees a radio station calling. He's like, a new affiliate.
Who the hell is this? Right, then we'll go to phones.
All right.
All right, so if you want to buzz in on who you'd like to have crash your wedding or you'd hate to crash your wedding, or if you want to comment on Tom Hanks loving to crash people's weddings, is he not picking up?
Right, well, 9 to 10 is his cologne applying hour.
All right, let's go to phones here. All right, Rick is in Seminole. Hi, Rick. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, great to be talking to you guys. I'd be happy to have America's number one Cubby fan, Bill Murray, crash my wedding.
That's right. Cubby, right.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sing, take me out to the ball game. You know, like they do the stretch. Have them do the stretch. You know,
he's not like a hot celebrity.
All right. So sure. you'd rather have Bill Murray than Tom Hanks, I guess. Two famous wedding crashers.
You don't want Channing Tatum or somebody like that?
Yeah, he's a Cubs. He's my Cubbies fan. Come on.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Make it about you.
And he's ugly. So, no, he's not going to take your woman.
Yeah, Neil's right. In Sarasota. Hey, Neil, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Let's talk wedding crashers.
Yeah, well, I think actually more fun is let's talk about which of the MJ Morning Show would you like to have crash your wedding, and who would you like not to?
Ooh, good one.
That's a whole lot more fun than celebrities.
Oh, so, all right. We'll bite. Which MJ Morning Show members would you like to crash your wedding, and which member would you not want to crash your wedding?
Oh, well, I'd like Fester and Roxanne to crash it, and definitely no for you, MJ.
What am I,
Froggy?
So why wouldn't you want me to crash your wedding?
Because you always talk all the time. You never give anybody else a chance to talk.
You know, if you let MJ make the best man speech, he'd start doing morons in the news.
Oh, my God.
All right. Congratulations to Neil and Sarah.
Hold on. Say it again.
I said you'd be heckling all his speeches.
I'd be heckling everyone. All right. But you still listen every day, right, Neil?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, thank you.
Hey, Neil, why don't you stand up?
All right. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. Listen, I don't mind some self-deprecation around here. All right. So back to phones. I'll take a couple more calls here. 888-990-1047. And listen, the underlying question was, do you think Tom Hanks is being cool or is he being a little egotistical and a little presumptuous that people want their wedding crashed? And then who do you want? Who do you not want? 800-990-1047 here on the MJ Morning Show. Spring is in Carrollwood. Hey, Spring, welcome to the program.
Hey there. Good morning.
All right. Wedding crashes. Which angle do you want to take?
Well, my favorite artist, of course, is Mick Jagger. I would love him to crash my wedding. Maybe do Wild Horses or something for me.
Yeah.
And I would also hate for Carrot Top to crash my wedding.
Well, hold on. What if he brought that whole, treasure chest of props? What if he did a whole bunch of prop comedy at your wedding?
Awesome.
I don't think I would want any kind of...
What? Carrot Top, the finest working prop comic?
The inventor of prop comedy.
No, not the inventor.
You know, I kind of like Carrot Top, to be quite honest. And then remember he started working out and he got all jacked?
Yeah, he admitted that was stupid.
But did he get was he on steroids?
No, he wasn't.
He super jacked up and he had plastic surgery so his face looks like a trampoline just pulled around his red skull.
He looks normal again though.
Really? Well, sort of. Spring, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Do brides really want to be overshadowed and have the memory of the day be about summer, the celebrity? Spring.
Well, that's Froggy. Roxanne's talking. Shut up. What do you say?
I said, do brides really want to be overshadowed by Tom Hanks walking in? And...
Well, that's part of the question. Yeah,
seriously.
I mean, it's I think a fair question. All right, back to phones and Festa. Put the screener back up for me, please.
We got there.
All right, how about Bart in San Antonio? Hey, San Antonio, Texas, or San Antonio, Florida?
San Antonio, Texas.
Well, Texas in the house. All right, Bart, go ahead.
Cowbunga.
We were watching your show live stream, and my wife said, I'd like to have Channing Tatum go to my bachelorette party.
Whoa.
Oh, God, not that creep.
Well, Magic Mike, is that?
Inspired by me.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Thank you, buddy.
What's my name?
Appreciate it. All right, Tracy's in Tampa. Let me grab, can you put Tracy on hold? There we go. Tracy on line two. Hi, Tracy, MJ Morning Show.
Good morning, MJ and crew.
Well, thank you.
I'm calling to tell you that to have crashed my wedding, I absolutely love Aaron Judge from the New York Yankees, but I cannot stand Billy Idol. I would not want him anywhere near me.
He'll drink all the booze.
White wedding.
What an amazing spread.
An
above average Yankee baseball player against a rock legend.
Oh, no. I was thinking Billy Joel.
Wow.
No. Billy Joel would drink all the alcohol. You're right.
So, hold on. What is your problem with Billy Idol?
Oh, I don't know. That whole lip thing he gets going when he's singing and... I don't know. I've never liked him ever.
He could come sing White Wedding at your wedding.
That's the point. You know, it's a nice day for a white wedding.
Hey.
No.
I like Billy Idol. In fact, I met Billy Idol on an airplane. And then it turns out that I'm trying to remember the chronology. Did Billy Idol steal my date in L.A. before or after I met him on the airplane?
Every time I think
it was before.
You should not like him if he stole your date.
Now, this is a story I've told on numerous occasions. So I was working for Pirate Radio in Los Angeles. I was working for Scott Shannon. I was the creative director of KQLZ Los Angeles. This is 1989, 90, and 91. And I was flying from L.A. to New York. And Billy Idol was on the flight. And I had a little portable tape recorder with me. And I had Billy Idol record a little ID. Hey, it's Billy Idol. Whose headphones are all cranked?
That sounds like yours.
Is it yours? Is it when you moved your head?
No, they're not mine.
My cans are at the same volume. They're not.
Anyway, so Billy Idol is on the plane. He was really nice to me. And he recorded, hey, it's Billy Idol. You're listening to Pirate Radio. It was cool. And then maybe a year later, I had started dating this girl out in Los Angeles. We went out on a bunch of dates. Things were going great. And it wasn't like we went out once and it was like she ghosted me for when I called her back for a second date. We had gone out probably, I don't know, 10 times, dinner, movies. I mean, it was fun. We were having a good time. And then, I don't know, a couple of months into the deal, I called her up. It was like, I can't see you anymore. I'm like, why? I mean, we're just having, we're dating. I mean, and she says, well, I've started dating somebody else. I'm like, who have you started dating? And She says Billy Idol. She
wow.
So Billy Idol, apparently, she was working, I can't remember where she worked, but she ran into Billy Idol, and the girl was attractive, and Billy Idol asked her out. She dumped me for Billy Flippin' Idol.
Did you try to get her back by dyeing your hair blonde and getting a flat top?
I did not.
And saying, sweat.
I did sweat. Not. Anyway, hey, thanks for the call, Tracy. I appreciate it. All right, just a few more. We got to move on. How about Jeff in Valrico? Jeff, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Steve Harvey can crash it, but not Richard Simmons.
Well, I don't think anyone knows where the hell Richard Simmons is right now. Isn't he like being held hostage in someone's basement?
Yeah, that's the rumor. Like he's become a hermit.
No, there's some kind of weird deal with Richard Simmons. Yeah,
Steve
absolutely.
Harvey.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. All right, a few more. We got to move on. How about John in Spring Hill? John, who do you want to crash your wedding, and who would you rather stay away?
All right, what I'd like is Vince Vaughn from the Wedding Crashers and his sidekick to crash my wedding. Who I wouldn't want, Will Smith. Definitely don't want to smack my guests around.
Yeah, he'll smack your guests around. He'll smack the justice of the peace marrying you guys. All right, last one here. Catherine, who do you want to crash your wedding and who not?
I would like to have Tom Cruise crash my wedding, but Amber Heard not to crash my wedding.
Yeah, she'll poop on your wedding.
I got a way to top that cake.
Oh, my God. What's this floating in the punch bowl?
What are these party favors?
Oh, my God. It's Amber Turd.
Hey, Catherine, I think it's really, really classy that you gave out Baby Ruth's as the gift to guests.
Oh, those aren't Baby Ruth's.
Oh, they're delicious.
Those are Amber Turds.
You know what else she's going to bring to your wedding is a ton of drugs.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so maybe
Laffy drugs,
mushrooms, and MDMA, and all kinds of stuff.
No.
Yeah, maybe it would be cool.
All right, Catherine, Amber. Thanks for the call. Have a great one. All right, we got to move on. But listen, Tom Cruise likes to crash weddings, and I just wanted to know is
Tom
that.
Tom Hanks.
What'd I say?
Cruise was her suggestion.
You're right. Tom Hanks likes to crash weddings. All right, you want to stay slim. All right, Rox, do you believe this?
I do.
Couple of things here. If you want to stay slim, there's new research that suggests that you need to sleep in a very dark environment and you don't even want the TV on. You don't want any light from your cell phone and you should sleep with a mask. You should sleep in total, utter darkness. Now, Northwestern University researchers, man, that's a real university. I mean, Northwestern is a great American university. So Northwestern researchers have found a link between light exposure and obesity. Study shows 40.7% of people exposed to light before sleep were obese. Only 26.7% of the group not exposed to light for 5 hours were obese. So apparently you are a greater risk of being overweight if you're exposed to light. So turn off your phone, turn off your TV, turn off your lights. If you want to stay slim, they're saying that light intrusion or pollution while you're trying to go to sleep or while you're sleeping, that it could contribute to you being obese.
Yeah, you know what? In our household, we cannot have, it doesn't bother me, but we cannot have any light on in a room where we're sleeping. Like, we have to cover cable boxes with clothes. We have to put duct tape on security, you know, the security lights that come out of cameras.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no. If we stay at a hotel, we have to, like, have all the preparations.
So this is a duct thing.
Yeah, it's a duct thing. Yeah, but then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and he's reading articles on his phone because his phone light wakes me up. So, yeah. But I think there's something to it because, I mean, it messes with your metabolism. It messes with your overall sleep. And that is when you burn fat is while you're sleeping.
Apparently, they say the proof is building up that light at night fuels weight gain.
That's why I sleep in a coffin.
And they recommend that people wear masks at night and they even put up blackout shades onto their windows as well as turning off all devices. And people who need a light on, such as the elderly, should only use a dim light close to the floor.
I try the sleep mask, and every time I wake up, I freak out, and I think I'm blind. I forget. I forget I wear those things.
I don't know what goes on when I sleep, but when I've tried those, they end up like across the room. I could never put on a sleep mask and then wake up in the morning and have the sleep mask still on. It's like shoved down my underwear. It's in my crotch.
Oh,
it's like, what,
okay.
What's going on? No,
you have sexomnia?
What? No. It's just when I've tried the sleep masks, they haven't worked. All right. Speaking of like cell phones, because that's one of the things, keep your cell phone screens off. Don't get exposed to the light just before bed or while sleeping. But speaking of cell phones, muting, this is crazy as well. If you mute your notifications on your phone, guess what happens? You end up checking your phone more. If you put your phone, your device, into silent mode, it increases what they call psychological distress. And this especially hits the people that are predisposed to FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. And it turns out that if your notifications are shut off, that you're predisposed, that you want to check your phone even more. So if you turn the notifications off and you think that, you're going to try to limit your... No. The research shows that if you're not getting little notifications along the way, that you're more plugged into your phone and you keep checking to see if there are any notifications, even if you're in silent mode.
People get irritated with me, but I have not had notifications on my text messages for a couple of years. Is it when I had kids, I turned them off because I don't want to be around my children and have them think that my phone is more important, even though they know my phone is more important than them. That's how I'm on it all the time. But I don't want to be, like reacting to my phone. And so I have them on silent, and then people will send me a text message and I won't get it. And they'll say, I texted you. And I'm like, yeah, just call me if it's an emergency, because I do not get texts unless I choose to look at my phone.
So it's kind of a small survey here, but academics, they surveyed 138 people about smartphone use and notification settings. And they found that muting the notifications made the participants check their smartphone more, not less. And it goes to this whole FOMO thing. People that are just terrified, they're going to miss out. FOMO, fear of missing out. And this was research done in Pennsylvania, and they surveyed over 100 people on their smartphone usage and whether they have notifications on or off. And they found that muting notifications can be psychologically distressing and makes people check their phones even more. So if you think that you're trying to check out a little more by muting your notifications, it turns out that the exact opposite is going to happen.
I like not knowing if I have a notification and being like, oh my God, do I have one? And then opening it and then being like, yes, when I have one. It's like a release.
Ashley's in Port Richey. Hey, Ashley, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Not much. I just think I completely agree with sleeping with an eye mask on 100%. My fiance and I sleep with TV on, but if we fall asleep and pass out with it on, I wake up reoccurringly with these like random dreams, like related halfway to the show I'm watching. But then I wear an eye mask on, and then what I actually find best to do is put on Amazon, the black screen with the thunderstorms actually is when I sleep the best.
Oh, really?
And I wake up feeling amazing.
Excellent. Ashley, thanks for checking in. Yeah, Frog, were you going to say something?
It's just weird that just put on a sound machine and take off your TV.
Or those machines that make the white noise.
I have a white noise machine. Yeah.
But
I like
you have to put an eye mask on, too, though.
Gotcha. Hey, Ashley, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
I wear a crotch cover, too.
When I've tried masks, I've ended up with the masks down on my crotch. I don't know how it happens.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not like around my waist, but I've literally once woke up, I couldn't find the mask, and it was shoved down my underwear.
That is weird.
I swear.
Hey, you're wearing it like a tea bag?
I don't know how it got there.
Right,
how you're a face mask, too?
When we get back, a woman, 22 years of age, said she never wants kids, asked the gynecologist to do this to her. Gyno said, no. We got a really bad fast food fight story coming up. You ever use microbeads on your face? Yeah, we got a problem with microbeads, Roxanne. You're going to want to hear this. A whole lot more. Oh, the Grubhub kidnapping story? We've got a loaded long chunk of MJ next. Final chunk of the day in minutes. Don't move. MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 9:33. And what are you guys supposed to remind me to do right here?
Blues.
That's right.
Mobile.
Yep. Yes. You got to remind me to talk about the Bluesmobile. I've dropped the ball on this because, I don't know, I might have been wambookied on the Bluesmobile here, folks.
You got us into this parking lot, pal. Now you get us out. You want out of this parking lot? Okay.
Would there be anything else?
Yes, do you have a Miss Piggy?
This mall's got everything.
So you're playing the Blues Brothers scene.
Yes.
Oh, and the car goes through the mall.
Yeah. Lots of space in this mall.
Anyway, we had for years the famous MJ Morning Show Bluesmobile. It was a 1974 Dodge Monaco, the exact model from the Bluesmobile days on in the movie, the Blues Brothers. And it was in all of the Gasparilla parades for years. I even designed the big, huge metal air raid speaker siren that I had fabricated at that metal place on Kennedy near UT.
Making it wickedly top heavy.
Yeah.
Hard to drive.
The Bluesmobile kind of sat around and it was collecting dust.
Raccoons.
Our old employers over at Clear Channel, they were like, yeah, you got to get this thing out of the back. And they turned the title over to me for a buck. So then I had a buddy of mine that was going to fix up the Bluesmobile, and it was going to, I mean, really get the thing just made into a pristine automobile.
It could have been a show car.
Oh, you were so excited about this.
It could have been. So here's what happened. So I kind of lose track of the Bluesmobile. He's holding the Bluesmobile at his place for, I don't know, 7 years, eight. I don't know. It's a long time. And then he finally says, yeah, the car's kind of rusted. I'm going to scrap it.
Oh, no.
So he says, yeah, it's a goner. Get to scrap it. Go ahead and do you have the title? I need the title in order to scrap it. So I'm like, yeah, I've got the title. I mailed him the title. But I think I've subsequently found out that he sold the car to a collector in California. And that
no way
that I think the car was pretty valuable.
Oh my God, you could probably find it online.
So somebody told me that they saw the car being flatbedded across the country.
Dude, you could have sold that to you. The one they had at Universal was terrible.
Oh, the one at Universal sucked.
That was a diplomat.
It wasn't even the right car.
Yeah, you could have sold that thing.
The original MJ Morning Show and MJ and BJ Bluesmobile was a 74 Dodge Monaco. I found it in the Trading Post or the Auto Trader up in Virginia Beach, and I drove it home.
Oh, I wish you would have called me.
Back to Tampa.
You could have rotten my backyard forever.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was under the pretense, or I was told that the Bluesmobile was being scrapped because it was too rusted and it was gone. And then I find out that I think the dude sold it probably for a lot of money to some collector in California because they wanted to restore it because it was a pretty good copy of the Bluesmobile.
Didn't we get a picture several years ago of the Bluesmobile just sitting in a lot?
We
sent it to you.
We did.
I think Hurricane found it and sent it to me, and I sent it to you. This is maybe 5 years ago already, 6 years ago.
Here I was told that the Bluesmobile was being scrapped. Can you send me the title? And then it turns out that I think the car was sold. probably for thousands.
Could the guy who scrapped it, so, you know, maybe your buddy did scrap it, and then the scrapyard gets it, and like, no, this is a piece.
Nah, I don't think so.
I mean, unless you see it be crushed, you don't know what happens to the car when you sign the title.
Yeah, I don't think that's the deal. Anyway, so that's the big Bluesmobile deal, and did I get wambookied? Did I get, you know.
Okay, hold on. Wait, I got a question. Who's your buddy?
There's a bunch of them for sale online, but none of them have the big thing on top. Okay,
first of all, he's not your buddy. If this is the true, and you better call Benkin or something, because there needs to be an investigation.
Better call Saul.
Isn't that yours?
Hold on.
I mean,
yours had a gray thing on top.
Well, no. Our air raid siren is almost identical. I mean, we really did a good job. No, that's not our version. Okay, that's a different one. All right, I got to move on here. Final minutes of the show. I've promised a lot of crap here, and I got to deliver. All right, first of all, Roxanne, when was the last time you got micro beads dragged across your face for like a facial or a scrub or something?
You're talking about the little tiny ones, the little exfoliating beads?
No, I'm talking about the giant balls in the playpen at McDonald's Playland.
You did say micro, but there are a lot of different beauty tools, so I'm just trying to picture it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I got a facial probably a month ago, and there was some exfoliating there, so within the last month.
All right, here's the deal. There is a woman online, she's some kind of beauty influencer, and now she's putting out this frantic warning for anyone using these face washes containing the micro beads. So I think that salons that do facials, they'll use micro beads, but also aren't there little like facial scrubs you can buy?
You can buy them yourself over the counter.
And they have little micro beads, right?
Yes, of course.
I've used a facial scrub that had like apricot seed ground up in it.
You use a barbecue wire brush.
You know, I use that Agent Orange hand pumice that like mechanics use.
Oh, there you go.
I use it all over.
Yeah. Lava soap.
Yeah, lava bars. Those are
what is that? Not GoPro. What is that stuff called?
Gojo.
Gojo. Thank you.
use Goo Gone.
GoPro, Gojo, whatever. Same crap. So this influencer online, Emma Kingsley, she put out a video. It's gone viral. And she claimed that she was shocked when her esthetician found the tiny red and orange beads embedded in her skin. When she went for like a real facial treatment, she had the micro beads all jammed up in her pores.
Well, geez, are her pores the size of moon craters? Like, how would they get in there and stay in there for...
How micro are they?
They get rubbed in.
She said mid-facial, her esthetician said, "What kind of face wash are you using?" And she's like, "Well, I ran out of my normal stuff, so I've been using Neutrogena, the grapefruit stuff." And she claimed that it was leaving orange and red beads jammed in her face. So she's like putting people out, or putting people on notice. She's putting out the word that you should stop using the scrub. Listen, I'm guessing that it's probably different for people who have different types of skin, right?
Old bead face should come to Tampa for Gasparilla.
Well, because listen, you look at some people and it looks like, seriously.
What did you just cut her? She might look like a reptile.
I'm gonna throw out my face exfoliating beads to the crowd along Bayshore.
Show me some.
Put her on top of the Rough Riders flute.
No, but listen, you've seen people who, some people have like big pores and other people do not. I mean, some people, you look at their face and they've got big pores.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about her. She's got some big pores on her.
Oh, those pores.
What else am I supposed to get? Oh, the woman. 20. Listen to this. Final thing here today. And then, I didn't get to the Grubhub store. Oh, man. All right. Final thing here. Or maybe I can squeeze them all in.
It better be the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
It better be.
22-year-old woman said she never wants kids. 22-year-old woman goes to her gynecologist and asks the gynecologist to sterilize her because she doesn't want kids. And she knows at 22 she doesn't want them. And the gynecologist says, no. This is Olivia, a student from Massachusetts. And the gyno said no because you might meet Mr. Wright and change your mind.
Really?
So she was advised to get an IUD instead. The gyno would not sterilize her. I was like, how do you do
it? Yeah, but then she goes on TikTok or wherever she went and gets all these people on her side. How dare he or she tell you that you're 22, you know what you want to do. That's insulting. No. You don't need to wait for me. Well, I want someone at my age to tell me the bad decisions I'm making to not make. Like, no, you need somebody to tell you. Don't do that. You're 22 years old. You're an idiot.
All right, listen, bottom line, at 22, I think that there is a level of immaturity that you might regret things at 28, 32, 35, whenever that you did at 22.
Like that tramp stamp you got when you were 22, Fester.
Yeah, only because it says Froggy Rules.
Is that a rack of ribs? Mm. That's what your tramp stamp is.
It's Froggy Ribs over a rack of ribs.
Rack of ribs.
Yeah.
We got to roll. I got a lot of stuff already for the pile for tomorrow. So if I tease something I didn't get to, I apologize. That's just sometimes the way the cookie crumbles. All right, folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow on the MJ Morning Show. What, tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow's Friday. Right, and then also we've got Lightning back out in Colorado, and I'm not feeling good here, folks. Lightning would need to win 3 games in a row. All right, folks, have a great day. MJMorningShow.com is loaded. MJMorningShow.com, and let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.